Good morning. We'll go ahead and get started in just a minute here, if everyone could find a seat.
How are you doing?
I forgot my sheet somewhere.
Doesn't have
Good morning, everyone. Appreciate you being here. At least it's a little bit cooler this morning. I found that very refreshing. As is our tradition, before we begin our official meeting, we'll have a staff briefing by our fund manager, Candace Powers. Ms. Powers.
Thank you. Today is the first meeting of the first trimester of fiscal year 2017. It's July 7th, just in case you don't have that written anywhere. Thank you all for being here. The next CIB meeting is scheduled for Thursday. Make note of this because it is an anomaly. Thursday, August 18th, it will be here in this building again. On page 1-1-1, the projects for the board review today are indicated in yellow. There are 10 new projects and one request for supplemental funding. Supplemental funding is usually a suspend and fund. The supplemental funding is Annabella Town. It was funded June 8th, 2015. The fund summary on page 1-1-2, it indicates a negative balance, but at the June meeting, the board authorized funding from the infrastructure fund balance to be utilized if necessary. It was not. We funded everything because of the receipts that came in, so that balance still is there for possible use. As of June 30th, if all the listed projects, and that's what the balance represents, is all the projects that are on your list for the first trimester, if they were funded, as you see them on that list, that's the balance. The balance reflects revenues as of June 30th. So by October, when you will make the actual final authorization for these projects, the picture will look different. And I even have some numbers that have increased that or narrowed that deficit margin. That being said, keep in mind that as of July 1st, new receipts from the mineral lease revenue will be allocated to the transportation fund for use in appropriate ways of mineral lease funds. So it's not bad, not a bad revenue picture for the low prices of oil. If anybody has questions as to how the funding will come in and go out of the fund, please see me. I have all of the laws and code that are associated with that reallocation. The board has been prudent in the administration of funding by providing a mix of grant and loan funding where possible, which is part of the reason why the fund continues to be a revolving fund. So continue with your vigilance where appropriate and utilize this fund with care. The board has a benchmark loan rate of 2.5%. It's always up to the board to make that assessment. The board doesn't need to worry about where that funding comes from, bonus or mineral lease, because mineral lease fund can bear an interest as well. But if it bears an interest, it absolutely will come out of the bonus fund until that bonus fund is at a zero balance, and then anything that you put in interest rate can also come out of the mineral lease. Does that make sense? On October 1, 2016, which is the end of the first trimester, there will be a better picture of the availability of funds, as I said. So let us proceed. In your red folder, I put the rainbow sheet again. That will be updated when all the numbers in and close out. It happens for fiscal year 2016. You'll get a different one, and it will be updated as to the revenues per county and what the fund has awarded per county. There's a basic due diligence draft. It's a draft sheet. It's very basic. If the board authorizes that, we will make that available on the website. Map of Huntington City. This reflects the projects. They have submitted that after the board package was printed and sent. So that corresponds to 3-4 and 3-5, the cemetery project and park restroom project. There's also a rural planning group tool that shows annual payment estimates by terms and interest. It's a great tool, and it will represent all of the projects that the board should, you know, could consider for loan funding. So there's different scenarios and the impacts it will have if you decide to fund with a different package than the request is. The applications on the agenda for today are the first project is Upper Country Water Improvement District. The request is for $125,000 in grant. Some property has been purchased next to their existing building. It's going to be improved and allow them to store on site and provide parking. It's right now kind of a neighborhood blight, so they're looking to upgrade that area in the neighborhood. They can tell you a little more about the project. My questions would be, when was the property purchased, and do they have the deed? On 3-1-8, the Division of Drinking Water Bond, this shows the applicant's assessed debt. There shows that a drinking water bond will be paid off in 2 years. If the board chooses to award a loan, they could defer it, and there would not be a hardship, or there would be less of a hardship. The town of Sigurd is number two. They're requesting a new brush truck, and the request of funding is $87,000. So if you have any other number, they once had a $200,000 request. That's not it. It is $87,000 in grant. It's for a brush truck and equipment on 3-2-13. It's an interesting public hearing. They didn't have a price, but I believe that they've established that now. So it's the town of Sigurd, a new brush truck. Number three is Salina City. It's swimming pool renovation. They're asking $650,000 in total CIB funding, of which $455,000 is a 20-year, 2.5% loan, and $195,000 grant. The breakout shows that the building addition would be $129,000, mechanical and filtration chlorination would be $115,000, $40,000 for power, $173,000 is for a pool liner and shade, slide, fencing, and lighting. There is an amount in the administration for $5,000. I don't know what that's for. The board could ask that question. Huntington City, number four, cemetery improvements for fence and drainage. Huntington City did submit theirs. There's a couple of board members that wondered why they didn't submit it in one application. The staff contacted Huntington City, and they did divide it up per staff's direction to have you consider the two separately. And if the board wants to authorize it in a different manner, they may. Huntington City's cemetery improvements is for fence and drainage. It's $60,000 in grant, and they do have a matching amount of $50,020 in cash, which is good. This is for the cement fence, a little bit of roadway, some pipe, and inlet boxes to mitigate possible flooding and damage. Huntington City also has the new ADA restrooms and sidewalk at the city park. The request here is for $257,980. It's $100,000 20-year, 0% loan, and $157,980 grant. They went to CDBG for this project. It seems to be a project they're earnestly trying to get the ability to provide. CDBG did not put them in the rank necessary for CDBG to fund this. What is the status of the USDA funding, which is $50,000 that they have on this application? There are maps that are in your red folder for that project that shows you where those two projects are. Number six is Grand County Municipal Building Authority. It's for airport terminal building remodel. This is for $990,000 CIB funding, which includes $490,000 20-year 2.5% loan and $500,000 grant. They do have $500,000 cash that they're putting towards this. It was it's been a process for them. They were looking into the possibility of a new terminal, which was significantly more expensive. So they're choosing to remodel the existing facility. So they went from $7,500,000 for a new building down to $1,490,000 for the remodel. My question for the applicant is, was there a discussion of the financing of the airport at the May 17, 2016 CID meeting or public hearing? This is the CID meeting. Number seven, Beaver City airport improvements also, but this is for runway rehabilitation. They're asking for an $80,000 grant. They do have a $1,792,773 allocation from the Federal Aviation Administration, and UDOT also has provided them $92,264 for this project. My question would be, is the money from FAA and UDOT available currently? Do they have that established and in place? This is for pavement, paint, electrical cable, and my question for them would be, is the fix adequate? Grantsville City Municipal Building Authority has project number eight. It's a new justice center. It's a request of $2,700,000 in 30-year 2.5% loan, so all loan. On the agenda, it shows loan grant. It's not. It's all loan. They've requested all loan. The $112,500 is in kind, and it's land. So this is for a city hall. It's on the same. It's not for a city hall. It's on the same block as the city hall library and the rodeo grounds. And my question for the applicant would be, at the public hearing, was there a discussion of the project? Santa Clara is number nine. This is a landslide stabilization project. It's an ongoing concern for Santa Clara. It's been ongoing for maybe more than 30 years. They've done several fixes on their own. They now have a federal grant. It's a FEMA PDM grant, which is pre-disaster mitigation. They're trying to not make it a disaster. It already is of great concern. Their request is $351,000 total CIB request. $176,000 is a 20-year 2.5% loan and $175,000 grant. If this land is purchased by Santa Clara and utilized for a public use and not fixed up and provided to a private entity, then it is an eligible project for CIB. If they're going to fix it up and sell it to a private investor, then they couldn't utilize CIB funding. But we'll let the town of Santa Clara speak to that. The town of Loa is number 10, new fire truck. They're asking, they do have $10,000 of their own. They're asking for $315,644 in grant funding from CIB. They currently have two trucks. They're old. One's a 1974, one's a 1985. The ISO Insurance Services Office, which is ISO, is requesting that they have a little more updated equipment in order for that ISO requirement. And my question for the town of Loa is, have they set aside funding for this fire truck? Mm-hmm. The board always asks, is there a sinking fund for this type of equipment? That's the last of the new requests. The next request is supplemental. It's for the town of Annabella. It's flood protection and stormwater improvements. The extra funding is $223,000, $67,030 a year at 0% loan, and $166,000 in grant. I believe that's the same ratio that the original funding went out. And that at the end of the meeting, there will be an addition to the board member discussion. One is the initial due diligence checklist, and the other is the existing application that the board previously funded. And I'll turn the time over to the chairman.
Thank you, Candace. We appreciate you and your staff for the work you do in preparing us for these meetings. Again, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Community Impact Board. We are especially happy to have all of the board members with us. Commissioner Ogden, welcome.
Thank you.
This is your first official meetings, although you've been sitting in the audience for several months, so yeah. Hopefully you're up to speed and raring to go.
It's a learning curve.
It certainly is, but we're very happy to have you with us and hope you're welcome. I'd like to excuse Commissioner McKee. He had some very pressing and urgent business with the county this morning, so he called late yesterday afternoon and asked if we would be kind enough to excuse him. Let's start off with introductions of the board members and key staff people. We'll start with you, Christine, and we'll work around and end with Shad. How's that sound? Christine?
Morning. My name is Greg Galecki. I represent the Water Quality Board.
Good morning. Jim Mattson at Kane County Commission, representing the Five County Association of Governments.
Good morning. Nagi Zanari from sunny St. George with a hint of smoke this morning, representing UDOT Commission.
Commissioner Tudor Ogden, representing Sevier County and the Six County Association.
Jonathan Hardy, Division Director for Housing and Community Development.
Candace Powers, Community Impact Board Fund Manager, Housing and Community Development.
Good morning again. Keith Heaton, representing the Division of Housing and Community Development.
Good morning. David Damption, State Treasurer.
Jay Potter, Carbon County Commissioner, representing Carbon County.
Bruce Adams, San Juan County Commissioner from Monticello, Utah, representing the Dutch Oven Cookers Association and the Southeastern Utah AOG.
Good morning, Steve Farrell, representing the Board of Water Resources.
Ron Winterton, Duchesne County Commission, representing the Unibasin AOG.
Wade Fairway, Utah Attorney General's Office.
Gail Gardner with Housing and Community Development Division.
Chad West with Housing and Community Development Division.
Thank you, everyone. We appreciate that. To shed a little light on Commissioner Adams' comments, he hosted our annual retreat last year in last month in Monticello, San Juan County, and he personally cooked up a delicious Dutch oven dinner for us. And so, again, much appreciation for a wonderful time. You are an exceptional host, and we all enjoyed that very much. Just to reiterate a couple things that Candace said, financially, these continue to be difficult times. Revenues continue to lag significantly. So we, as a board, do have to be prudent with the projects and how we allocate funding. So we ask the applicants to keep that in mind, that we do not have the types of revenues that we are accustomed to seeing, and so we are forced to make some difficult decisions. Also, in your red packet, as Candace mentioned, there was a stapled sheet of white paper, maybe a dozen sheets thick. This is a tool that the Rural Planning Group put together during the last month. Compliments and kudos to Flint Timmons, our newest rural planner, who was the impetus and the workhorse behind this. This is a tool not only for the board, but also for the applicants to help them better understand the ability to take loans and the financial status of their communities. You'll see that most communities, there's a front and back. The information is not dissimilar. It's just different formats and a little bit different detail. One of the questions for the board is, as we go through, if you find this useful, which format do you prefer, the front page or the back page? What level of information? Would you prefer a dashboard with maybe some color on it? It's a work in progress, obviously. We apologize that we didn't get it to you before today, but something we've been working on the last few days. And so, again, just a tool that will help you, and if you find it useful, we'll continue to do it, and hopefully it will also be useful for the applicants as they prepare their applications. So as we're going through the applicants, if you have any questions about the terms of the loan or the grant, the financial status of the community, you can look to that and hopefully give you a little bit of help. The next item could be a little tricky. I'm going to proceed with caution. Hopefully we get through it okay. But the chair will accept a motion to approve the minutes or any discussion about changes to the minutes. I'm crossing my fingers. Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
I was hoping we could count on you, Mr. Zanotti.
I have received a mandate from my dear friend colleague to prepare myself, so I've read the minutes page to page, and ironically find one mistake, my spelling of my last name on page 10. So with that correction, I make a motion to approve the minutes as been prepared.
I have one question.
Yes, great.
On page 2-1-9, when it's talking about the Central County, you know, Iron County Water Conservation District, in the middle of the page, is it District 1 and Derby 2? Or is it District 1 and Derby, District 2? It is? Okay.
Derby. So those are the names of the wells.
That is the Derby 2, yes.
Okay.
That does look odd. It's a good question.
Chairman, I just had a question on the end.
Yes.
At the adjournment, we were talking about the September 8th meeting. Is it going to be in Salt Lake? I thought we were going to be in the basin in Vernal. No?
No. They had their meeting.
Oh, they're on the 1st.
Huh? No. The question is, where is the meeting being held?
On September 8th.
It is going to be out here. Okay.
Yeah. I know when we talked a couple months ago, we had talked about Vernal.
Okay.
And then last month, that was adjusted. So good question.
Okay. I would make a or second the motion then.
Any further discussion on the minutes? All in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. Again, to shed light on that, Commissioner Claudia Jarrett, who served on this board for a fair number of years, was always very helpful in reviewing our minutes and traditionally would make the motion to approve. And Commissioner Ogden has replaced her, so last month was her last meeting. And so that was a little bit touchy, but we appreciate you gentlemen for stepping up and helping out there. We'll turn our attention at this time to our applicants and the projects, starting with Upper Country Water Improvement District. If the applicant would come forward and introduce themselves for the record, that's very important, and give us a brief description of their project, addressing any issues that you heard in the briefing or that you'd like to share. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. My name is Eileen Jensen, and I'm here on behalf of Upper Country Water District. We are in Altamont, and we've got a project that we're kind of excited about because it not only benefits us as the district, but it benefits the community quite a bit. Our project is improvement of a piece of property that was directly adjacent to our property that we have right now. It was a trailer park that went up for a trustee sale, and we purchased it. And one of the concerns is, yes, we do have the trustee deed. We have everything recorded, and it is in our name. What we are hoping to do is improve this property to have a better storage yard for our supplies. Right now, the property that we have is not sufficient to store what we need, and our supplies and our construction materials are actually held on the town of Altamont's property. Some of it is. And so this makes it easier for us to have our materials and everything right there on site where we can control it better and have better access to it. The second thing that makes us kind of excited about this project is that it cleans up an area that, as was indicated, was quite neglected. In fact, there were two trailer parks that were within the town of Altamont, and 95% of the police call-outs were between the two trailer parks. This eliminates the one. And another concern that we had is we are directly across the street from the school. And so having that type of environment where our children are exposed to it is a concern as a community. It's really good for the community and also for the school because of the fact that where we are close to school property, our plan is to leave enough parking along the side of where our property will be improved that will greatly enhance and give the people who attend these sporting events and that at the school and also for the community a place to park. It's a very narrow street, very congested when activities are held there. And so our project is actually going to include several things. It's a facilities upgrade and storage and security. We have already purchased the property, and we were actually able to purchase that through a trustee sale. Just kind of we were notified that it was going up for sale, and it was an ideal situation for us. So we have purchased that already, and the total project is $300,000. We paid $150,000 for the property. We plan to remove the structure on there that is an old home that is in disrepair. We've had the county come up. They've looked at it. It's not in habitable, so that will be removed along with some vegetation, trees, and things like this to prepare this lot for a storage facility. We need to grade and prep the ground. Then, of course, we will have asphalt put on it to make it better and more usable for us. And then we plan on doing fencing and security, and then a structure that will hold our pipe and that. $300,000 is what the total project cost is. We have paid already $150,000. We are contributing another $25,000, which makes our contribution for the project at $175,000. We are asking for $125,000 in grants so that we can complete this. Another thing I would like to address is when it was indicated that we do have one of our bonds are going to be paid off in 2017. If I'm understanding correctly, Candace, was that the one through drinking water? Okay. At the time that our district was created, there was one small town, the town of Bluebell, that was having issues with water. They actually were going to join another water system to bring water out of starvation to provide water for them. It was recognized that the other communities there, which there are seven small communities, were also in need of water. So instead of Bluebell joining them, our community band together and created the Upper Country Water District. So that small debt is the one that Bluebell area had taken out just for the transfer lines. The rest of our system was, of course, at a greater debt, and one of the reasons that we feel that we can't take on additional debt if this was offered to us as a loan is because we had to restructure some of our debt back in the 90s when it was with the AMAX decision, which I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with. And so some of our debts, because we couldn't extend them out so long, they had to restructure those so we actually pick up new debt, and we actually will lose the GO bonds that we have had, and they all turn into water revenue. Now, we have just completed our master plan and also have done an update on our impact fee. All of those are increasing, along with our water rates, again, will increase once these bonds are off. We no longer have that taxation that will support us on that. So that is the one debt that's going to be paid off, and it's a very, very small amount. But that is the reason for that one being paid off in the 2017. I don't know if you have the debt payment schedule within your packet that I had included, but it shows how some of those debts that were restructured, slip over to other new fundings that we will be responsible for.
Thank you, Ms. Jensen. Appreciate that. Questions from the board?
I do have one.
Mr. Zanotti?
This $25,000, what is the source of that cash? Where is it coming from?
That is coming from funds that we have in-house for improvements.
So you have that
yes.
already?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We paid the $150,000 for the property, and unfortunately we also had some back taxes that had to be paid. So, you know, we had some other expenses that had to be paid for prior years of taxation that hadn't been paid, and then that is what we have in reserve for improvements and for...
And what is the timeline for the finishing the project? How long is it going to take to finish the project? So,
well, actually, we are hoping that we plan on the $25,000 that we will be contributing. It's my understanding from Candace that we can actually spend that. Is that correct? But what we cannot spend is anything that we would hope to receive in our grant. Our plan is before the school year starts to have the building demolished and also the trees removed. And then we can finish this project as quickly as possible. We've already checked with several different companies. You know, we will have to put it out for bid, but we know pretty good what's going on. In the basin right now, they're looking for projects to do. And so it's an ideal time for us to find someone that wants the work from us. We could complete this relatively quickly.
Okay, thank you.
And like I said, we do plan on doing the demolition of the building within the next month prior to when school starts.
Mr. Galecki?
Okay, a couple of questions. First one, you know, as far as the demolition and such, is there a reason you can't do that in kind? Does the district have, you know, equipment that you could do the demolition with?
We don't. We're a two-person, we're two employees. There's a system manager and myself as the office manager.
And then the other next question is, why is it asphalt as far as your lay down here? Why is it asphalt as opposed to just gravel? Like
because of the snowfall that we get. We get a lot of snowfall, and that would be easier for us to have access to the yard.
Well, you can plow gravel as easily as you can plow asphalt, can you?
Good question. That is what they had determined would be the best thing for us. We have natural asphalt in the rest of our yard, which joins it, and I think that his desire is to, you know, have it consistent throughout. And so it does make it a little easier for plowing it, actually.
So, if I may, the intent is to asphalt the entire piece of property, not just the perimeter parking?
Yeah, it would actually, the perimeter parking would most likely be gravel. It would be up against where our fencing would go, and it would be gravel. And then we already have some parking out in front. What happens is when we have community events there, everyone parks right in front of our office. This would give them an alternate place to park. And we plan to put gravel on there that would make it, a nice surface for them to park on that perhaps they wouldn't park right in front of our building and impede our business.
It does seem a bit excessive in my mind that you would need to asphalt for the storage of pipe. I understand that that's a nice luxury type of thing, but it does seem to be more of a luxury to me. Is there more explanation as to why the need for asphalt versus just gravel or dirt?
I think it's for the maintenance of places. We do get snowfall there, and it just, you know, he's got a backhoe that he plows with. We're a small company. It just makes it a little more accessible for that to have it asphalted so that...
Is it important enough for the district that they'd be willing to take this as a loan?
I think that if we had to take it a loan, it would postpone being able to do anything. At this point, it would be with our debt that we already carry. We still have quite a bit of debt out for our system. It was over $10 million when we had the system done. Our source comes from springs in the Uinta Mountains. Mm-hmm. And so we have a lot of debt that we still have that we're paying. Our people, our water connects are high. Our water usage rates are high. We've lost a lot of the taxable value within our district.
And
it would be difficult to take it as a loan.
Am I seeing it correctly that, you know, they talked about some of the restructuring and the other drinking water, Division drinking water loan will be fulfilled within a year or 2 years. And then the same thing, so that the water resource and the two drinking water ones will be fulfilled, which is almost like $70,000 in the next year and a half.
Well, if you look at that, the one is the 1997A, the other is 1997F. 1997F is where it was restructured.
Right, but are they, is there only 1 year left on those? On the 48,000, there's 1 year, 27,000 left on the both of those restructured ones. Are they going to be fulfilled within the next 2 years?
They are, but then they pick back up.
Oh, that's what I didn't understand.
Yeah, yeah. See, and when it's restructured, 1990A goes to 1997A, the GO. That's one of the GOs that we lose. Then it goes over to water revenue, and that is the 1997F. And then if you look over on the 1997B, which was also the GO, that includes now with 1997C. If you look at that, that actually that 27,000 is added in. And the 1997C goes from 28,000 to 44,000 in debt payment.
Okay.
Further questions from the board?
I am. Mr. Phil? You said you just had a master plan done on the rates and the impact fees.
Yes.
What is your current rates now?
Our impact fee, the cost of our Water Connect, the service is at $6,000. The impact fee used to be $4,000. It has gone up to $4,085. And let me restate that. Our current cost of our service is $5,850. Our impact fee shows that it needs to go up. And so it will now be $4,085. And then the cost of materials, we have not increased those for quite some time. And so the cost of materials and everything will make our total service cost at approximately $6,000.
What is your monthly rate?
Our monthly rate right now, we have two different rates. We have the regular rate, and then we have one that is for conservation. Our regular rate right now is $30 a month for 10,000 gallons. Now, once we lose our GO, those rates are going to go up to recoup the cost of what our revenues will be to make our debt payments.
Have you projected what they'll go up to?
We are anticipating that they will probably go up about $18.
So you'll be at 48 a month.
About 48 a month, yeah. You know, and it's hard when you – what we've got to do is to stress to the people that, you know, they will be losing that taxation off of their property, but they will be repaying it through higher water bills. So – and we will be passing – we've always had our master plan and our impact fee – but we have just redone it, and that will be passed in our August meeting, and then it will be implemented beginning January 1st of 2017.
Commissioner Manson?
Question on the scheduling. You mentioned the timing in relation to school starts and all. And
yes.
If this project is approved, our funding wouldn't take place until October.
Absolutely. We're aware of that. And, see, we're not as concerned with the building of the structure. What concerned us the most with school starting was the demolition of the building. We are right across from the playground of the elementary school. So our plan is to get the building gone, the trees, the things like that, those big major things prior to
approval.
The beginning of school.
Okay.
Yeah. And we are actually already, we put that out for bid. We are hoping to have some good bids. We will be opening those bids on the 12th. And at that point, you know, that's one of the criteria is that we will ask them to have that done prior to when school starts.
Chair will entertain a motion if there's no further questions.
I also move for approval.
As presented?
I'll second it.
We have a motion from Commissioner Mattson and a second from Councilman Farrell to approve as presented. Any further questions or discussion? All in favor of the motion, aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstaining? Motion carries. Thank you, Ms. Jensen.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate your time today.
Clarification, Mr. Chairman. This is to advance for the funding,
this
right?
This will be placed on the priority list for funding, right. Yes. Thank you for the clarification, Mr.
Thank you.
Town of Sigurd.
It's good to be with you this morning. This is my first time. Like my friend Tudor, it's his first time too. But anyway, it's good to be with you. I'm Kelly Alvey. I'm the mayor of Sigurd. Jason Jacobson is with me. He's my fire chief, our fire chief for our town. So we're just here to see if we could get funding for us a new fire truck or a brush truck. As you see there, our other truck is kind of outdated. We're kind of in a place that to have a truck that would be quick to respond would be good for our little town. We've had that a number of times. Saved a dwelling or two on occasion, plus helped out the other fire departments around, and so that's what we're requesting.
Thank you, Mayor. I appreciate you keeping that brief. How many fire trucks do you currently have?
How many fire trucks?
Yeah.
We have an older brush truck and then an older truck that we got from Aurora City, just a regular fire truck that has a few issues, but...
So you currently have two trucks?
Uh-huh.
And how many bays do you have in your fire station?
Three.
Okay. So this would be an addition?
It would.
Yes, sir.
Fill up that station.
Which would be good because the one fire truck, like I said, the old one has a few issues, and then the truck that we have that's like that we use as a brush truck, it just doesn't have quite, we need to update quite a few things on it, and we thought it might be just better to buy a new truck and keep that other one as a backup. So,
and the request is for $87,000 as a grant.
That's right.
We'll go to the board for questions. Mr. Jamson.
Morning, Mayor. The minutes of your June 8th meeting started out with an indication that there might be a possibility or that there should be some discussion that the council might need to consider a loan.
Yes.
If the CIB doesn't grant, or if CIB doesn't approve the grant request, the minutes don't indicate that there was a discussion to that effect further on. So I just wanted to clarify whether or not that was the issue of a loan was discussed in that meeting and whether that issue was available for public comment.
Well, we really didn't talk about a loan because we already have two or three loans. You've helped us out on some things for our water and also for our roads. And so you see, we have like 430 people in our town. It's kind of a small town. We really don't have the funds to really do another loan because we have enough debt right now. But that's why we thought if we could get, well, when we talked to Emery about the fire truck, then he goes, well, let's put $200,000. I go, well, we won't need that much. But we could sure use a new truck, you know. And so for us to have a loan, we probably couldn't do a truck.
But so we would consider if there is a possibility that we could afford a loan, we would consider it. It's the truck we have now is, as far as carrying capacity, the new standards that the fire departments want, we're just lacking in that department. They kind of require you want you to have like 300 gallons, and we only can carry 200 on the truck we have now. Mm-hmm. So, and to get up to the standards and, you know, get up to where we need to be and we should be, you know, we need to upgrade all our equipment to get up to the standard where we can be an active and really helpful fire department.
Chief, is your station new?
It's fairly new. It's about 10 years old.
According to the records,
it's 11 years old.
11, yeah.
11 years old.
So, did we acquire property for a fire station back in 2013?
We already had that property. It's behind our old town hall.
Land acquisition.
So, we just build on that same property.
Mayor, can you divide it in half, the grant, make it half and half, half loan, half grant? In the past, board has given the grant and half loan to the communities requiring fire trucks or fire station. Is an opportunity for you to do the same. It's better than going home without nothing.
Yeah. Well, we could, we probably want to think about that a little bit. Like I said, we have enough loans that we're okay, but
right.
We don't want to be so that we can't pay.
The only interest-bearing account that you have right now is about 3 years old, 1.5% loan. So I think that if you go half and half, Lord may consider that to do something today rather than just say come back tomorrow or the next week. Mm-hmm. So that's up to you to decide.
We would probably want to talk to the board about our town board about
okay.
that.
Okay.
To help you out, Mayor, I appreciate very much where Mr. Zanotti is going. Traditionally, with anything under $100,000, the cost of bonding and such doesn't merit doing a loan. So in this case, Ms. Powers is a little bit reluctant to go in that direction just because of it would end up eating a significant portion of the loan just in the processing, legal fees and such. So. Definitely like the direction, but it doesn't pencil out on a project less than $100,000 generally.
I've got a question. I guess you've been seeing this need. First, I want to say I appreciate your service in what you do for your community. That being said, you've been having a lot of wear on these vehicles for a while, right?
Yes.
Is there a reason you don't have any applicant cash? I mean, if you get called out, like let's say on different fires, do you get reimbursed on various things? Not necessarily in the city, but if you get called on a wildfire or something?
We're Sevier County. We're not a fire district. We're all just a volunteer. And as far as Sigurd, the town itself, we're not under contract. Like we do have some other departments like Richfield and Salina and Monroe that they are contracted with the county, and they get funding through that. Us as Sigurd Town, we do not get any funding as far as that goes.
So as far as operations and maintenance, where does that funding come from?
From the town. And we do fundraisers, so basically the community helps us out a lot with that. So that's why we just can't afford to go out and buy a new truck.
I guess what always catches my eye is that you know something's coming, and not to have any money put away, you know, for it. And I know it's tough, you know, but even a few thousand dollars showing that, you know, you've been thinking about it, it's been a concern, as opposed to not coming forward with anything. So in your general budget, do you put something towards that? Is it an item in your general budget? I know it's real small, but do you normally have something you put away all the time for operations and
Not really. It's more we just kind of go day by day, incident by incident, what absolutely needs to be taken care of at this time. It's more like that, you know, because it's kind of hard to foresee what we're going to be doing or what's going to break or what's going to wear out or what we need.
Is there any reason you're not joining with the county to help you lock out the communities?
There has been talk about turning Sevier County into a fire district, and we did meet with GWAB and San Pete County, and they talked about it, and it was a really good idea, and it was a really good talk, but they said that if we do that, it will be a long process to turn it into a fire district. They said it's about a 10 to 15 year process.
Okay. Commissioner Ogden?
I just want to make comment that Sigurd is a first responder to our oil area up there where we have the oil fields. They do a great job. I know there's a hardship here with Sigurd being a small town, and it isn't. We do not have any financing going to them for from the county side of things. We have had discussion of a district.
Thank you, Peter.
Well, Mr. Chairman, with
Just a second, Mr. Zanotti. Mr. Winterton and then Mr. Zanotti. Thank you, gentlemen.
Well, in the minutes, it just shows that you talked about the price of things. Is there anything here that is a solid price? Because the truck that you actually put the application in for wasn't even discussed, other than somebody would like to go outside of the area. And so is this a bid that you can take to the bank? Or?
As far as the truck goes, I kind of wanted to keep everything local. I'm just kind of that kind of person. I like to, bring in, revenue to my, to the area and stuff. But the dealerships that I did go to, most of them, the only thing they could offer me was a 3500, which is a one-ton truck. And for the carrying capacity that we needed something bigger. And so I handed in those, and a lot of the members, they wanted to see a bigger truck, as did I. And so I made a few phone calls and did a little legwork, and I called some dealers up here, and I did get a bid from Larry H. Miller for a Dodge 5500, and we did get a bid for it, and it was $59,900, and that's the one we're going to go with. So, and then Ellen Curtis, they gave us a bid, and that there's a pretty set price, and like you say, and Larry H. Miller, there's a set price. So they are all should be set prices.
We just kind of enclosed a bunch of that information so you could see that we've been trying to do some footwork to figure this out. So,
Mr. Zanotti?
Well, experiencing the firsthand for the last 4 weeks in my community that the Pine Valley Mountains are burning, and also the Arizona fires, the California fires that happened here last month, I really feel it's necessary that this community, which they first responded to the oil fields, have the opportunity to have this truck. Their trucks are old, as you can see from the experience of the mayor and the chief himself. So I make a motion to approve this grant as requested.
I'll second.
We have a motion from Mr. Zanotti, a second from Mr. Galecki to approve as presented. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you, gentlemen. I would strongly encourage you to create a sinking fund for future expenses, and when you come back next time, have some money.
Okay.
Matched. That'll be great.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Best wishes. This will be placed on the priority list for funding consideration in October. Ms. Powers would like me to remind everyone to make sure that you signed in. I guess you can't get any money if you weren't here. Important. Welcome, gentlemen. Will you please introduce yourselves?
Good morning. I'm Dustin Deaton, Mayor of Salina City.
Dwayne Brown, I'm Councilman of Salina City.
We're here today, and I realize it's not a popular topic. We have been having an issue with our swimming pool for quite a few years. Last 2 years, we've been band-aiding it together to try and keep it open. It has not been a priority as far as myself or the councils to try and do something with the pool the last couple of years. Our priority has been taking care of a water project, and prior to that, it was a road project. We've reached a point where we can no longer open the doors. In 2014... From 2014 to 2015, the number of children that go through our pool dropped in half due to the maintenance issues we're having. We have to keep closing the doors because it has such a maintenance problem as far as chlorine and the filtration system. It needs to be resurfaced. It's leaking. Our pool is 42 years old. We are here today because we keep getting pushed by our community and individuals to please do something about it. This pool provides a service for three communities, Aurora, Redmond, and Salina. We draw crowds from all over the state because it is an outdoor-outside pool. It's not an indoor pool. People enjoy the sunshine. We are here to ask for your help. The reason we are asking for 70% loan and 30% grant as they come before this panel a year ago, and to do a $6.4 million water project. You know, when we approached you, I asked for 50-50, but we settled for 70-30 with a 33% grant. I was hoping that you would be forgiving on a nicer project that the community really wants. This pool provides us not only a service as some place for children to go, it provides swimming lessons for children, it provides aerobics for senior citizens, and we do notice that when the pool is open, we have less of a juvenile problem in town. It gives the kids something to do.
Mayor, if I may, there were two sets of minutes included for the board. One was from November of 2015, and then there was one from June of 2016. In the November minutes, it seems the cost of the pool was less.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Is that not viable to do the lower amount?
It's not. One of the main issues with the pool is it needs to be resurfaced, which isn't a very high cost. I think in our bid we had $85,000 set aside. We did have a bid, I think, for $75,000 to actually have it resurfaced. We put $85,000 in our spreadsheet just to make sure that we could get a couple of different bids and contractors and make sure we got it covered. The biggest expense is our pump room. We had a contractor look at that, and to make the pool run more efficient and to get away from the gas, chlorine, and go to a salt system, new pumps, new filtration system, that pump room has to be expanded and widened, and there's a transformer outside next to the building that has to be moved, and it's Rocky Mountain Power told us it's going to be between $20,000 to $30,000 to move the transformer so that we could expand that room and make it bigger. The bathrooms and the showers inside the building are so old that we can't find parts to repair the showers any longer. So we're going to have to rip the walls down and replace the plumbing to get the showers working. We have a 6 shower head shower, and both each the women and the men's side, only 2 shower heads in each side work.
Oh. So speaking of Rocky Mountain Power, it's mentioned in the minutes that there is a municipal energy tax. It would bring in $40,000 a year, and if that were the case, you could take a loan? Is that
correct? That's correct. Currently, we budget $33,000 a year for our pool, for O&M. To do this project, what we did is, and we've never done this in the past, this is new for Saline City, we've never participated in franchise tax. So we implemented a 2% franchise tax from Rocky Mountain Power, which is going to generate $40,000 a year for this project to make the payment, and leftover would go into O&M. Does that answer your question?
Very well, thank you. Yeah. Let's go to the board. We'll start with Treasurer Damshin.
It's mentioned, good morning. It's mentioned in the minutes of November 5th. Suggestions were made to increase admission prices, cost of swimming lessons to help with the cost of pool operation. Just kind of looking through the rearview mirror a little bit, right, as this pool has aged over all of these years, these discussions in 2015 about increasing rates. As you've heard, we do tend to look to see what kind of cash reserves, down payment, if you will, or skin in the game that entities are bringing to the table in these situations. I'm kind of curious what the trend line in those admission prices and swimming lesson fees has been, roughly. Have they been level and inordinately low for a long time? Is this something that, you know, maybe could be addressed as part of the solution? Were we derelict in not considering these issues some years ago? I mean, that's kind of a Monday morning quarterback question to ask, I realize. But there's also this comment. Citizens commented regarding the surcharge on the utility billings. Citizens commented that they feel this would be forcing an expense on them, that they don't feel like they should have to pay.
So there's a, it seems like there's a challenge for support of the project, evidenced by the lack of cash and some of these comments from the minutes. But I was curious what's happened with rates and fees in recent years.
We, in 2000, for the season of 2015, we raised the rates by a dollar per person, I believe it was. And we did not raise the rates for 2016. And the census, and my personal opinion was I was not going to raise the rates on 2016 on a pool that's only open half the time, that has patches in it. There's kids scraping their toes because there's plaster peeling up in the pool. And the rails, or the handrails to climb out of the pool are loose. The pool's in such disrepair, I didn't feel comfortable charging more money for children to come to a pool that's in such bad shape. I was just fortunate and felt good that we could actually get the doors open this year, to be honest with you. It was very close to us not. And I'll tell you, when you say to raise taxes, you get a couple of complainers. You guys know that. You tell people you're not going to open the door, it brings out pitchforks. To be honest, I'm scared to drive home if you decline this. I really am.
Don't go back to the line.
We did raise the rates on our swimming lessons, but they are comparable. There's two pools in the area, two municipal pools, excuse me. Gunnison City has one, as does Richfield. We are in the ballpark, we feel like, on our swimming lessons. There's also numerous individuals that are giving private swimming lessons in swimming pools in the Richfield area, and I can say that we're way below their costs.
And what's the daily fee to like you said, you raised it a dollar.
I think we're currently at $2.50 or $3 per person per day.
I believe
it's $3 a day for an adult. And we open it early in the morning for lap swimmers and for senior citizens to do aerobic classes. And then we have in the morning hours from about 8 to noon, we teach swimming lessons for children up to the age of, I think, 12. In the afternoon, the pool is open until 6:30 at night for just all children and all of ages to come and swim. And then we actually have after 6:30 is optional for people to actually rent the pool for a party, a birthday party, and we charge for a rental price for the whole pool.
You know, it's great because the we're making comments on the notes, and even before they came up, I was going to commend them on actually having great notes and on the meeting notes and articulating it. But in one way, it's kind of you're hearing about it. But I want to commend you, the other people, because multiple times I say the notes, you get nothing out of it, you know. And so I commend you on that. Although you're kind of getting questioned on them.
That's okay,
Mr. Damson.
I was just going to say, I hope we're not getting your secretary in trouble for keeping such good minutes. In the June 15th meeting, Mr. Long suggested using local contractors to help and using donated labor, and the comment was made that this is how the pool was first built. Yes. And if there had been, this is another Monday morning quarterback comment, I'm sorry, community fundraising effort, and you came to the table, you know, we've been working for the last couple of years, we've sold a lot of cakes and cookies, and we have $10,000 or something to evidence community support. That would be so helpful. But this comment about how the pool got done originally kind of underscores that issue, that we're certainly looking for that aspect of community support. We realize that we're talking about a distressed community, right? That's not lost on anybody here, but the level of detail in these minutes is really good and bad, but that raised a question for me as well.
The community in our community, that is the highlight of our community during the summer months, is the swimming pool. It's located to where even the people from the surrounding communities. There is kids that ride their bike. It's about 3.5 miles from Redmond. They ride their bike to go swimming. On a hot summer day, it is utilized. And like the mayor said, your phone starts ringing when you ask about raising taxes. But when you tell them you're taking away their only summer activity that they have, they really get adamant.
So I'm going to be blunt on this question. Answer: that swimming pool is a babysitter. There's a grocery store next door, and that provides a service for mothers to go drop off their children and go have an hour and a half of solace getting groceries because their kids are in the pool and not tugging on her in the grocery store. So, yeah, I reiterate, when we say we're not going to open the door on the pool just because we can't fix it, yeah, it brings out blood. But this pool is a lifeline of the summer. And like I told you, I don't even dare drive back to Salina if I don't get a positive outlook from here today. We are willing to We were hoping to get a 70-30. We're willing to take less because that's how important it is to our community.
We appreciate hearing that.
I'll make a motion.
Question? Oh, sorry. Yeah. Mr. Zanotti, Mr. Galecki is deferring to you.
Okay, thank you.
No, I said I was going to make the motion, then he had a question.
Mayor, last year we had a community from Northern Utah came with the same kind of problems and issues. Well, not safe problems, issues. They had also asked the local community, specifically, if I remember right, one of the college and the schools, to participate in the cash in kind or monthly payments in lieu of if they allow the students to use the pool. Is the opportunity for you to do the same?
We actually had that meeting a year ago.
Okay.
With Redmond and Aurora, and we had a meeting where we brought in the mayor and the city council members from both towns along with Salina City. And we tried to get them to participate in this project. And we pretty much got shot down. They just told us it wasn't in their city. They weren't interested in the burden of the cost on their citizens. They turned us down.
Is there a different fee structure for those coming from out of the community? Yes.
In the past, what we've done is we've charged more for people who are not Salina City residents. We kind of went away from that the last 3 or 4 years, probably.
About 4 years ago, yes.
But I can tell you the conclusion after that meeting is we did inform those individuals that if they didn't participate, then there would be a fee structure changed for people that were non-Salina residents would be charged more money.
But that's what the Washington City does. Residents have a different fee from the non-residents, which makes sense.
Yeah, they were informed that will happen after this project's complete.
And if I could turn to our rural planners for a second, on average, what's the subsidy that the city has to put in from the general fund for a swimming pool?
Well, theirs is actually pretty good comparatively.
So 40% is being paid out of the city fund?
If you can find a way to make it better, I'm all ears.
We have talked several things. Our manager, we talked about the rate structure for the other communities. That was a big question. The people, as they come in and pay, you know, are they going to have to bring proof that they're from this community versus, I mean,
yeah.
Also, we talked about closing the pool at a certain time and actually charging two different admissions.
Yeah, lots of options. Let's go to Mr. Galecki, or was there Commissioner Ogden?
Yes, I just want to make comment that I know that Salina's worked very, very hard on this project. There's been discussion for the whole community to try to make a effort to have one giant pool and multi-sports complex, and that we've looked at that, and that just didn't materialize. So too many things that come up, and affordability on that sports complex. So I know these smaller communities are trying to put these pools together. I know that Salina's done a lot of effort. and a lot of work and background, and I think that they've done quite a bit of their due diligence to try to make this happen.
One more question.
Mr. Zanotti, and then we'll go to you, Mr.
Mayor. What is the going forward plan? If you got the money that you said you would like to get something before you go back to your community, what is the going forward plan to maintain or upkeep or get the community involved to, hey, we got the money, now we need to do something to prove that we can do it?
If we was to get the funding from the CIB?
Right.
I'm not worried about operation and maintenance. What the changes we're going to make, we're not making the pool bigger. But we are going to change the pumps, the filtration, the chlorination system to make it run more efficient.
Okay.
And so we're hoping that that will actually depreciate our expenses of what it's been costing us to keep it open because of all the constant repairs. Mm-hmm. Moving forward, like I said, we've been budgeting $33,000 a year for operation and maintenance. We have already implied the 2% franchise tax from Rocky Mountain Power, which will generate $40,000 a year. I did not intend that we would be here before you in July. I thought we'd be August, September, and I would already start accumulating some of that money. It started collecting the 1st of July, and I was hoping to already start collecting that money to show you our efforts have started. But I'm comfortable. We're good on operation and maintenance expense. I'm very comfortable.
And your pool is gunite or the plaster, you said?
What's that?
Your pool, is it gunited or the plastered? What is the kind of pool you have?
In 1975 when it was built, it was plaster, and then it was resurfaced 20 years later, and it was a epoxy-type resin bottom. We'd like to go back to a plaster is what we'd like to go back to.
Switching from chlorine to salt, of course, is going to make a big difference in your material that you're going to use. Are you considering that, too, for the future maintenance?
That's a good point. I'd have to talk with our engineer about what would be better with the salt.
Please do, because you're going to come back and say that now it doesn't work. We have to change the whole pump again. So please consider that.
Okay.
Okay.
These are the issues in sunny St. George.
Those are the issues where there's pools, huh?
Commissioner Winterton had a question.
I'm having a hard time being warm and fuzzy about this project. It seems more like a want, not a need, and yet you have a present one. And since there's no skin in the game, Mr. Chairman, I'd make a motion that we offer a 100% loan to this at 2.5% for the 20 years.
That's
$650,000 with what we've done in the past.
For $650,000 to be placed on the priority list?
Yep.
We have a motion. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second that motion.
Thank you, Councilman Farrell. We have a second. Any further discussion on the motion?
If you want to make a substitute motion, do we first vote on this one and then?
Generally, a substitute comes at this point.
Okay. I'd like to make a substitute motion. At 75%, using the chart that we have, I'd say a 75% loan, 25% grant, that would say they have a little more buy-in, although they don't have skin. And then actually, according to the chart, it will be a you save on payment. Oh, sorry, 1.5%. And then that would actually reduce their costs by, it's a little bit of a decrease from what is proposed. So my alternative motion is
substitute
motion is a 75% loan, 25% grant at 1.5%.
20 years?
Yes, 20 years.
Is there a second to the substitute?
Second.
Commissioner Manson, seconds. Any discussion on the substitute motion?
I'm just curious why we don't stay consistent with the interest rate of 2.5. You know, if we're basically giving it away, and if we can't make anything off from this, there's no incentive, you know, for anybody to.
Can I make a comment? Mm-hmm. Can I make a comment? I appreciate what this board's done for Salina City in the past. We have numerous loans with you that we're paying interest on, including one we incurred last year. Mm-hmm. I believe I'm paying 2.5% interest on $4.2 million. And as I said earlier, I want to reiterate that. I was hoping that this board would be a little more forgiving on this project because we're paying you so much interest. And I just ask for that consideration. And I realize it's more of a want than a need, and it's more of a need for me to continue living and not be killed, too.
Well, I get the object was to go home with something.
It is. It is to go home with something. I'm just asking you to reconsider.
Two questions I have, and I'm not in response to that, and I'm not a banker, is that do we actually no, we wouldn't generate more money. Never mind. But the other, looking at the terms that we've done, multiple times we've done a lot of 0% and 1.5. The last three loans, I'm not going in order, but going down our sheet, we've had multiple 0%, 1.5%.
But the difference is, Greg, is that those projects, if you look at the total amount of the projects, they came with skin in the game. They had something to contribute. A lot of them might have had a little different terms, but they had a lot more in place rather than coming in asking for 100% of financing and then asking for grant money besides. So that's kind of why, you know, I'm kind of feeling like I'm trying to be charitable, but let's be consistent on our terms.
Any further discussion on the substitute motion? If not, go ahead and call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, show of hands, please. We'll do a count. We have Greg Galecki in favor, Commissioner Mattson in favor, Commissioner Ogden in favor, and Commissioner Adams in favor. All of those opposed by a show of hands. Mr. Winterton, Mr. Farrell, Mr. Potter, Mr. Dampshin, and Mr. Zanotti are opposed. So the substitute motion does not pass on a vote of 4 in favor, 5 against. So we go back to the original motion, which was a 100% loan at $650,000, 20 years, 2.5%. All in favor of that motion, please signify by the uplifted hand.
Substitute motion, Mr. Chairman.
The original motion.
Yeah, I'm making a substitute motion.
Oh, you want to substitute at this point before we take a vote?
Yes, please, if I may.
You may.
If we can help you, Mayor, how about a 30 years loan at 10%? So that gives a little bit of a lesser payment monthly. Keep the 100% loan 30 years at 2.5%. That gives a lesser monthly payment than 20 years.
Lesser monthly payment, wouldn't that put me paying more interest in the end?
Yeah, but they still, because you're talking about the other loans are also come and due every month.
$31,000.
You're at a disadvantage. That'd be at $22,000 a year.
That'd be at 2.5%.
Yeah, 2.5%.
30 years.
Yeah, 30 years.
We're all looking at our papers. Can you speak up, Kyle, please?
I'm looking up.
Over the original request.
Over the original request.
I think the question is, if it's a 100% loan, what's the difference between a 20-year 2.5% and a 30-year 2.5% payment?
The question is, how much more interest am I going to pay for the extra 10 years?
And for your information, Mayor, this would be placed on the priority list for funding consideration in October, so the community would have time to go back and look at the numbers and determine if it was viable for you.
It would be a viable option to go 30 years on 2.5% interest.
So I move this.
So we have a motion by Mr. Zanotti.
Thank you, Mr. Zanotti.
Thank you.
Do we have a second to that motion?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Ogden. Any discussion on the substitute to the original? Okay,
Tell us what the motion actually is.
You betcha. It's a $650,000 loan, 2.5% for 30 years. All in favor of that motion, please indicate with the raised left or right hand, but not both. So we have Winterton, Farrell, Adams, Potter, Dampshin, Ogden, Zanotti, and those opposed. Mr. Galecki. Thank you, Mr. Galecki. So that motion carries. Again, thank you.
Thank you, everyone on the board, and Mr. Galecki. Thank you. I dare drive home now.
Now, you still need a bodyguard, Mayor? Do you still need a bodyguard to go home?
I brought him with me.
Okay. He's
a young man back here. I'll have him stand up.
Huntington City, Mayor Gordon. Well, there's actually two applications before the board for Huntington City, as was discussed during the brief. The first is the cemetery improvements for a $600,000 grant. Mayor Gordon, welcome. Always good to see you. If you'll please introduce yourselves for the records and tell us about your project.
Okay. I'm Hillary Gordon, Mayor of Huntington City.
I'm Jonathan Johansson with Johansson and Tuttle Engineering.
We start with the cemetery project. We've had some issues with flooding, quite some severe flooding. It's kind of difficult to visualize, but our cemetery sits down in somewhat of a hole, and right on the west side of it is the blue slate hills. When we have these, I call them gully washers, these big storms that are coming through, the water just comes off of that hill, and it brings with it part of the hill. And it comes over the roads that go through the cemetery and eventually goes on top of some of the grave sites, too. We've had a lot of cleaning up to do. So we have a new gentleman over the cemetery this year on our council, and he is wanting to correct that problem. To do that, we are putting in, we originally, as you know, put these two projects together because I thought that's what was wanted. So now we're separating them. So the money's... We were putting in $100,000, so we're putting in $50,000 for the cemetery, and we're asking for a grant of $60,000 to make the necessary changes to eliminate the flooding that's coming off of this hill.
Questions from the board?
I have a question.
Mr. Commissioner Winterton, please.
In your minutes of your public hearing, there was no talk about a loan, so... Is that not a consideration at all?
Well, we changed things around several times in doing this and separating them and decided that this was, we took the loan out on the park, on the bathrooms. We were hoping for, where we're putting in $50,000, we were hoping for a grant of $60,000 on this one. We do have several loans out right now. We are looking at transferring funds from the from out of one of the utility funds to try and help, because we did not want to completely dry up our basic fund in the city. So this one we were hoping for, if we put in $50,000, that we could get the grant for $60,000.
Is the runoff coming from the residential area to the from the residential area? Because I thought part of the residential is they were supposed to control the runoff from their own area.
Well, it's up on a hill. It's a little subdivision up there. It's on quite a good-sized hill. And then it's just the blue slate hill at the back of that. And when the water comes down and you have these tremendous little thunderbursts, like I said, I call them gully washers because that's what they seem to produce. And then they come in and they just do tremendous damage. And we've been dealing with this for a long time. And as I said, our new council person said, you know, he'd had a lot of complaints because people are very sensitive about cemeteries, as I'm sure you all know, and their loved ones. And so he said, let's just fix this and take care of it. So we are hoping to do just that.
Mayor Gordon, where's the source of your cash, $50,000, coming from?
This one we're taking out of the cemetery perpetual care.
So it's already reserved for that purpose?
Yes, it is.
That's wonderful. The fence, cement fence, as engineer, how tall is it going to be and how wide?
Well, it matches an existing fence that's on the north side. So that the intent was to match that fence. It's approximately 8 feet high and 6 inches wide. It's a hefty, heavy-duty fence. We talked about doing a different fence, but it was the desire of the council to do a similar fence that is on the north side.
So it's going to withstand the mudslide and the flooding from the hillsides?
Well, the flooding itself will be contained in a swell that will then be diverted into a subsurface drainage. The fence will actually be on the downstream side of that swell. So we're hoping the flooding is contained in the swell, but there will also be a gap at the bottom in case there is any extra flooding.
What kind of soil geology are you dealing with in that hillside?
Blue slate.
It's blue clay hill.
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot use a French pipe to divert the flooding or the water to
runoff? Well, no, just an actual ditch, so to speak, to divert then into a subsurface. It won't be a French drain.
Okay.
So the shale, is it a Manco shale? Is that what the blue slate is?
Yes.
And then are you building the wall on the Mancos, or is it?
It won't be right on the, it's right next to the cemetery, so it's not going to be right into the shell, we hope.
Keith. I'm sorry, go ahead, Commissioner Adams.
Huntington City is in the county of Emory. Emory's a pretty large producing county. All of us are pale compared to Uinta, but they've got skin in the game. They've got $50,000 of putting into it. They're asking for $60,000 grant. I don't think that's unreasonable. I'd like to make a motion to approve the project as presented.
A second.
Well, everybody at once, but I believe Mr. Damson beat you to it, or maybe it's just proximity. So we have a motion from Commissioner Adams to approve as presented and placed on the priority list, $60,000 grant, second by Treasurer Damson. All in favor, aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. That carries. Mayor Gordon, would you like to tell us about your restrooms and sidewalk at the park project?
Okay. Thank you for your vote on the that will be very helpful for us. On our main street where our park is, a couple of years ago, our bathrooms, well, I think they were, the original bathrooms there were in the 50s, I kid you not. They were really bad, and every year we would try and prop them up. Anyway, those bathrooms, they eventually had to be taken down, and we got those taken down. And we have a nice pavilion that has been rebuilt because snow caved our other one in, and we upgraded and did a little bit of pavilion, but we don't have restrooms right there. And that's a necessary thing for people that come and use the pavilion. We have, as you see, we have applied to USDA. We did apply to CDBG, but we didn't meet the housing criteria that they had set up at that time. They said they're going to change that, so I hope they do. But anyway, at this point, that did not qualify, so we didn't have the number of points. So we applied for the USDA. That's an ongoing request right now. We haven't received an answer. I think they may be waiting to see what we do on the CIB, if the CIB is favorable.
Mayor, will we know an answer from the USDA by our October funding meeting?
I would think we would. They're kind of slow to get hold of and move. I hate to say that, but it seems government's always slow, except me. I'm not slow, even at my age.
Questions from the board?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Zanotti, please.
Mayor Gordon, can you manage also the CIB loan to be 2.5% to be consistent with other loans that we have given away in the past?
We could. I mean, I was hoping for zero, but, you know, I always ask for the most, and I'll take what I have to get.
Okay. With that, Mr. Chairman, I would like to make a motion subject to approval from the grant from the federal advance this project to funding period.
Second.
So the motion from Mr. Zanotti is to advance as requested, with the exception that it be a 20-year 2.5% loan for the $100,000.
Subject to approval, yes.
That was seconded by Commissioner Mattson.
Correct.
All in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed? Any Mr. Galecki is opposed.
That was going to, discussion-wise, you know, a restroom facility, that's almost, if I have it right, it's $561 a square foot. I don't understand the cost of that. Can you explain that?
For the restroom itself?
Yes.
That the restroom that we looked at to do was one that CIB funded about approximately 15 years ago with Wellington City. They did a nice cinder block facility, and Huntington City liked that. We got with the original architect that had done that project and made the prices from that.
Wanted something that was going to hold up.
Yeah, you better hold up for $200,000+. That's more than we pay for hospitals per square foot.
It's much cheaper than the toilet seat with the government, Mr. Galecki.
It's a USDA toilet. Anyway, that was contingent on that funding, so come October, we would appreciate a response
okay.
to that.
Okay, we'll have our ducks in a row.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
To expedite the Grand County Municipal Building Authority airport discussion, I'm going to postpone the break until they've presented. So we invite you to come forward and just let you all know, as soon as we're done with this one, we'll take a break. Please introduce yourselves and
Morning.
Describe the project.
Thank you. I'm Elizabeth Tubbs, Grand County Council.
I'm Judd Hill, Grand County Canyonlands Field Airport Manager.
Okay. Thanks for the opportunity to present our application for an expansion of our airport terminal. You may be aware that there are lots of changes occurring at Canyonlands Field to the Moab Area Airport due to the fact that we no longer have the smaller planes that SkyWest was flying in for a number of years. I believe Vernal Airport went through the same changes, and our current runway is not it cannot handle the larger planes that we hope to bring in there. However, the terminal building project that we're here for today is not really a part of that. It's an opportune time for us to present this because while we need it for our current service, have needed it, it was identified as a need as long as 10 years ago. This will also allow us to begin to look to the future and for what the needs may be when our larger planes come in. I am going to turn most of the discussion to Judd because he knows a lot about this, a lot more than I do. And I also wanted to mention, so I don't forget, that Diana Carroll, our clerk auditor, is in the audience with us. So there may be some specific financial questions that one of us may not be able to answer that Diana can. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. There's a saying in aviation that is, give me a mile of road and I can go a mile, but if you give me a mile of runway, I can go anywhere. And that's what we're trying to do with Moab, and provide a critical piece of infrastructure for transportation that will service Grand County as well as all of Southeast Utah. And right now, as we said, we're working towards, we really took hard the loss of St. George-based SkyWest Air, and we're working very hard with FAA funding as well as state aeronautics and local funding for about a $13 million upgrade of our runway, of which we're putting up over $500,000 towards just the upgrade of the runway. And that will enable us to bring in the size aircraft that SkyWest is now operating. Unfortunately, though, our terminal building our current facility cannot take the number of passengers that would be flying on those size aircraft. So last year we funded an architectural firm to design us the building that we would need. And what they came back with was a $7.5 million Taj Mahal, beautiful terminal building. And a lot of those details are in the packet that are in front of you. Unfortunately, we can't afford that. So we had to go back to the drawing board. And when we went back to the drawing board, we said, what do we really need to get by? And what we needed to get by is what you can see in that supplemental packet that's associated with you, a couple of representative pictures looking at the outside and a floor plan of a building. It's a roughly 2,700 square foot addition to our existing terminal building. Well, the big issue, obviously, security is a very large component when looking at commercial air service travel. And this addition is primarily based around generating the space so that passengers can be screened and fly securely to and from Southeast Utah. So this addition, we came about, and it would meet our needs. The way we were able to come around with the cost that we're presenting you today is we did fund a $15,000 study of what it would take to build out at that to build the, this type of facility at this location, and we extrapolated from the roughly 14,000 square foot new building to what it would cost to remodel our existing and expand our existing facility. And that's where we come around with the dollar value presented to you today. And that's what the last page of that supplemental packet, as well as the side-by-side comparison of the roughly $7.5 million large project scaled down to the 2,700 square foot addition to our existing facility. So with that, that is how we're getting what we are looking for today, what we are requesting. We, as I said, we've already put in, and we're putting in well over $500,000 into to match federal and local or state funds for the construction of the runway, but we're also bringing $500,000 to match for this particular request, and we are requesting this grant in loan mix. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Adams?
I like this project because they are bringing $500,000 in cash. They're willing to take a loan of nearly $500,000 at the 2.5% rate. They're asking for a $500,000 grant. I don't think that's unreasonable with the fact that they're bringing $500,000 of their own cash. So whenever you're ready, I'm ready to make a motion to approve.
I have a question, and then I will second the motion, if you don't mind.
Question.
Okay, we have a couple questions, so let's start with you, Commissioner Potter.
Just looking at the project budget, your engineering, 24% and 11%. I realize you're bringing your own money in, but that is significantly higher than anything we have seen in airports or other facilities.
And we do feel that that cost was we – have a civil engineer on our airport board. He actually designed hospitals in a previous career. Now he's semi-retired. Also agreed with your cost estimate. The reason why we presented it at that value is that we did go out, found an independent architectural firm, and that's the cost that they came up with. And we felt, although it might be high, they know more than we do when it comes to what it costs to build out there. And so when presenting this cost, that's why we utilized that particular value. But that was a specific one of that may be high, but it may how they came about that is I'm not in it. That comes down to I'm not an architect, and I can only say that we did take that into account.
And the reason I ask is because that pre-engineering is half of the cash that you're bringing in.
That's right.
I mean, it is significant. I don't know if you've gone through the public process as far as selecting someone in that respect, but for that kind of money, I'd be shopping around.
Absolutely. We would be looking. We have not gone to that level. We were going to acquire funding and then have a firm, complete design done. Like I said, we spent $15,000 to have cost estimates determined, and that's what you see in front of you. But we understand that we would need to do a bid for design prior to actual construction.
Also, in the last meeting, you mentioned Vernal, and they withdrew their terminal project totally.
Correct.
Again, because of economics. Yes, a little bit different environment down your way, but is it really prudent at this time until your runways and other things are really approved and moving forward to go, you know, with this type of a project? And the second part of that, even though it may sound critical, which it probably is are your citizens going to allow airplanes to still fly in when they use fossil fuels?
Absolutely.
Just wondering. I just want to make sure.
On both accounts, yes. We had a long-term plan for the upgrade of our runway. With the strong support of the FAA, that went from a 10-year outlook to a 2-year outlook. And in terms of federal funding, that's lightning fast. And we are approaching the within the next several months of whether we find out if we have that money to do the construction in 3 months or if we want to do it in this coming spring. And it's all federal funding, and right now that's Congress at its work. With regards to Vernal, yes, it's a different market, but for us it definitely will be useful. It will be heavily used by all of our citizens.
And the reason I tie the runway to that is that, as you know, and I both know from doing airport projects, is that, yes, it is subject to federal funding. And even though you feel like you're on a fast track, those monies are not always available. So that's really where the question comes from is, yes, they're not tied together, but in a very large way they are. For you to even need this facility, you have to change that runway.
Correct. So three main components to upgrading runway. Number one, develop a master plan in an airport layout plan. Number two, do an environmental assessment. And number three, construction. Grant County fully funded at the dollar amount of $270,000 to develop a master plan and airport layout plan. We could have waited 8 years for the FAA to pay for it, and we would have paid $6,000. So we put our skin in the game there. Environmental assessment is currently underway. We're about 90% complete with that at the tune of about $620,000. And we are on the priority list for the Denver Regional Office of Airport District Office for the funding of the actual construction, which is upwards of $12 million, 95% of which will be paid by FAA, the remaining 5% split between State of Utah Department of Aeronautics, Transportation, and Grant County.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
It's good to hear. Thank you, Commissioner Potter. We'll go to Mr. Galecki, and then we'll go to Mr. Zanotti because he intends to second, so we're going to...
Okay. I guess this is, and you've pretty much answered this, but, you know, the cost of this is about $552 a square foot when you look at this, you know, breakdown of it. And I know it has a lot of engineering involved with it, but, and the safety. On your breakdown, for my comfort, you know, you have different construction costs. What are of those are dealing with the, you know, the defense type things?
Security.
Security.
The entire expansion would basically, with the basis and the design that you're looking at, it's the top-down layout, the pink section, if you would, on that handout. That entire area would be the expansion. Of that, all of it would be security. And with the exception of it would develop 4 bathrooms, 2 male, 2 female, 2 of which would be on the unsecured side. The other on the secure side, because
things.
And the reason, even though it seems large, we were just discussing the 50 passenger planes. 10 years ago, they said the 30 passenger planes of SkyWest were going to start to phase out, and 12 years later, they did. We're expecting a shift in the overall aviation fleet of the United States and globally. We're seeing a shift from smaller planes up to larger. It's just economy of scale. And so this design, it does meet our needs for the 50-passenger size aircraft. However, it also accommodates any potential growth. The most likely replacement would be a 70-passenger, the CRJ-700, but it even takes that next step of, and we can expect that to happen in the life of this building, to see the displacement of the 50-passenger aircraft. But we can also want to take the contingency of what happens if the next step happens, and this design and this size accounts for not only the current needs, the most likely next step, but it also accounts for the next unknown step at a relatively small additional cost.
And then I guess the last one comment is when you're doing an environmental assessment, I assume they'll consider regional haze because that was a big concern of Moab people. That
Some Moab people.
Chairman. Mr. Farrell had a question. No, you're still
and from a community that's facing the same problem. Is this being forced upon you by the FAA to go from a B2 to a C2?
No, it's not. No. It is.
Or highly recommended.
It's not even that. It's one, do we want to grow? Do we want to be happy where we were 20 years ago? Do we want to see Southeast Utah grow? It's our choice. We can sit back and say, we're happy with how things were in 1970. Or we can say, where do we want to be in 2050? And this is the step that we have to get to that point. So it's not being forced upon us. If we do want to see growth with commercial aviation, then this is a necessary step. But it's not coming from outside pressure. It's coming from the desire to have a critical piece of the transportation infrastructure.
Do you have any idea how much the airport brings into the county in terms of revenue?
There are multiple ways to look at it. It's upwards of $10 million a year, easy. Simple numbers that we can use with tourism is roughly $160 per person per day coming into the community. We also have to look at we're very useful as a step for all of our Department of Defense. We actually have large scale exercises happening later this month with Air Force JSC operating out of our airport. We have a significant component. Last night, late night, someone needed to get up to here for a medical emergency. And so there's not a dollar associated with that, but it's an incalculable cost.
In addition to that, we're doing a lot of work on attempting to diversify our economy. An airport is a critical piece. If people can't get there, we're kind of remote. It takes a long time to drive from most locations, and it's just a critical piece every time you look at any sort of economic diversity plans.
Chairman Lester, last time I checked, it was only 30, 40 minutes from Monticello to Moab.
Bruce usually has the comments on remote.
Mr. Zanotti?
I have three comments. First of all, as Utahn, I'm glad that we finally got the airport from Grand Junction back to Moab. That is the really greatest asset for Utah. Secondly, I know that St. George had the same issues, tried to be on the map. The old airport didn't accommodate, and SkyWest gave us ultimatum that, hey, even though they're the local airport, airlines, but they said we cannot fly until you make improvements, which we have done and has brought quite a bit of an economy back to St. George. The lastly, that SkyWest, we have discussed this in the UDOT, and SkyWest dictated most of this, Mr. Farrell, that changes because they're not going to fly those poppers and the Brasilias anymore. No more 30-passenger planes, so they have to go bigger regional jets. So unfortunately, that is also dictated by some airlines. But I just want to make sure that understand that I happen in their airport. We are flying in and out. They need that kind of attention. They need that kind of service quick as possible. If the money is there from FAA, grab it quick before they change their mind.
Absolutely.
For that, I second the motion for Bruce Adams.
So we have a motion from Commissioner Adams to approve as requested, move to the priority list. A second by Mr. Zanotti. Any further discussion on that motion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
That will
be placed
much
on the priority list for funding consideration in October. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Subject those two grants, remember them.
So with that, let's take a 10-minute break. We'll reconvene at 10:30, and first on the agenda after the reconvention will be Beaver Cities Airport.
We have a port.
Oh, Jay.
Can you believe that? That's cool.
You're redeemed. You're redeemed.
Countries better live on over in Europe.
And it could have did mainly nursery.
That's the best job in the church. Oh, I'd love to be a nursery leader.
I've never been that.
Oh, I would love to be that.
Second Catholic in the Sunday school.
I think that's okay. All right, let's go ahead and reconvene.
I know I had it.
Invite Beaver City Airport Improvement applicants forward.
He didn't want to be nursery leader.
Where's the Beaver?
I think that'd be great.
Oh, don't wait for us. Go ahead and get started.
All right. Good morning. Jason Brown, new Beaver City manager as of the 1st of May.
Kurt McDaniel with Javiation.
Appreciate the board letting us come before you today. Just a brief assessment of our project. 1964, the original Beaver City Minnesota Airport runway was paved. It was extended in 1972, and since then, no improvements to the pavement runway has been completed.
I'm sorry, can you say that again? You haven't made any, there's been no maintenance?
No, there's been no significant improvements as far as the runway since 1972. So with the aging of runway pavement surface, UDOT Aeronautics moved that up on the priority list to kind of resurface and do a complete reconstruct of the runway. So we have been successful in maintaining obtaining funding from FAA and UDOT to construct this project. Our original estimate was $2.5 million. With being awarded the funds from FAA, they authorized approval to bid out the project. Our bids came in significantly lower. As you see, we're at 1.9. With the city requesting the gap funds that we need of only $80,000 is a grant request from the board.
So you're only asking for 4%. Of the total project from the impact board.
Correct.
Any questions from the board?
I have one.
Commissioner Potter, please.
Should be fairly easy. What is the status of your annual allocation that the airports receive? I know in our case it's $250. I don't know if that's uniform throughout the state, but has that been part of this project? Because the federal side of it doesn't require that. The grant from UDOT doesn't seem significant. Javation, you deal with this all the time, so what is the status of that annual appropriation?
Yes, Beaver City gets $150,000 a year from FAA, and that money they've been banking up so they can they take that money every year and basically save it so they can do a bigger project. They've done that with some of their money, and then the state and the FAA have added additional money to get up to the $1.9 million so they can do the project.
So Where is that reflected in this application then? If you've been accumulating and banking that, I don't see that as I've gone through this particular application.
That's not reflected in this application, and to my knowledge, those funds are not available, or if they are, I'm not aware of those. Currently, our O&M costs, our revenues don't even come close to covering our O&M costs, so the allocation from the general fund from the city stretches us pretty thin. To fill that gap, that's why we're requesting this as part of the city's portion for the FAA required 5%, 4.8% matching in-kind funds.
So, but the $150 a year that you've been banking, What is that being used for if you've been banking it?
That's part of the FAA money that they're putting in the project, the $150,000 a year.
I just wasn't, from the application, it didn't reflect that. It looked like it was all FAA and not the state's portion that I assumed was being banked and used. So I'm just wanting to account for that, because if you've got those monies available, there's no need for a grant. When we went through our process just to cut over the last couple of years, we've not been not needed to go for any grant money or application money, because we've had that banking ability and or we've had that little bit more skin in the game, you know, to be able to put into our project.
Well, that $150,000 is in there. I don't know the what that share of that total grant that FAA is granting. A part of that is the $150,000 they had been banking up, and I don't have that number with me right now of what that is. So, but it's included in that amount.
So, just to provide some additional information, over the last 3 to 4 years, the city has spent approximately a little over $50,000. It's not reflected in this, and other improvements to the project or to the airport, including a runway turnaround. Reflected in this application is some fees that the city has already covered with legal fees to move this project forward. FAA has authorized and are ready to issue funds. We're ready for the project. We have a contractor on board, and we're ready to roll.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Commissioner Potter. Commissioner Winterton.
I'm just wondering, did you have a public hearing on this request at all? Because I couldn't see it in our packet and wondered. I mean, it's a good project. Don't get me wrong. I just wondered what kind of involvement the public has had, or if it's just being driven by the city council.
No, we had a public hearing on it. I'm not sure why. I think that information was sent up.
Wasn't printed, so we do have it somewhere, huh? Okay. So
yeah. So as far as, you know, public comment, we received very little, actually, as far as members of the community coming and issuing statements in our public comments.
Well, what I was curious about is if you had even discussed, you know, if we don't give you a grant, what other options can you take a loan at all on any of this?
That was not discussed, that I recall. As we stand now, you know, the funds have been pushed forward by FAA to issue this project because of the urgency with the facility breakdown of the runway. You know, it's a critical facility for fixed wing life flight for Beaver Valley. So to you know, pass up accepting these FAA and UDOT funds right now really would be detrimental to Beaver City.
Okay. All right.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make the motion we go ahead and approve the grant for $80,000 to get the grant from the FAA.
Thank you, Councilman. Second by Commissioner Ogden. So the motion from Councilman Farrell is to approve as presented and placed on the priority list. A second by Commissioner Ogden. Any further discussion on the motion? Mr. Zanotti?
Mr. Brown, you had the compliance inspection done by the FAA on May 13, and it was specific about five items. Have you taken care of those items?
We have taken care of two of those items.
Which one of those?
The windsock.
Okay. Important one.
And the extension of the clearing and grubbing of the runway on the ends. And the side clearance that's referenced in there will be completed with this project. Right now, the clear zone is a 75-foot width. The airport actually only has a 60-foot width. So that will be extended with this project and clearing that vegetation for that runway safety.
And you hoping to do these three items when?
In construction with this project, which will start approximately the 1st of August to the middle of August.
Thank you.
Seeing no further questions, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries then.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
It's on the priority list to be considered in October. Grantsville City.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Brent Marshall. I'm the mayor of Grantsville City. I brought my team with me. If I could take just a second to introduce them. I have Chief Turner, my finance director, Sherry Broadbent, the architect, Jim Childs from JRCA, our finance advisor, Alex Buxton from Zions Bank, and my attorney, bodyguard, Joel Linares. We have a real need in our community for this building. It's not a want or a desire. We're to the point that it's a gotta have. And we need some help, and that's why we're looking to you to see if you wouldn't be generous enough to try to help us. We're not asking for a grant. We're asking for all of this in loan, the 2.5% that you guys work with, and we do have some skin in this game. We are putting in a little over $1 million ourselves, so we feel that this is a very worthy project, and I'm going to turn the time over to Jim Childs, the architect, and Chief Turner.
Ladies and gentlemen, I echo the sentiments of the mayor and appreciate your time here today. Just as a brief overview to keep in the interest of time, our current police department is in 1,300 square feet of space. 300 square feet of that is our evidence room, which is overly packed. In that 1,000 workable space, I have 42 employees that are full-time, part-time, and volunteers, working approximately 36,000 man-hours per year out of 1,000 square feet. To say that we're overly packed is an understatement. Our justice court's in a similar condition. We're in the same building, and through a variance that they have with the state, as they don't meet state safety guidelines, we have to have a certain operational plan to comply with state guidelines for the court, and as such, we have to devote manpower each day to moving furniture and being able to process and sometimes even schedule restroom breaks for staff, so they're not going to the restroom at the same time with prisoners. With that, we looked at a project and ran a full financial and needs assessment of what our needs would be. Originally, the project came in at over 14,000 square feet at approximately $205 per square foot price. Since then, we've knocked it down, looking at some cuts and needs and wants, various things, to 12,800 square feet and about $186 per square foot cost. That's reduced the cost well over $300,000 to the city. And as the mayor said, we own the property that we're looking to build this project on. We've currently spent between $20,000 and $30,000, and we have about another $900,000 or so to put into the project. At this point on our financial assessment, we looked at some commercial options. And frankly, the terms and conditions were outside the financial scope of the city. Therefore, we're here today to approach the CIB asking for a low-interest 30-year loan to fund our justice building project.
I'll go ahead and keep my comments very brief. The project, as the chief has mentioned, has gone through some extensive design, redesign to sort out and make sure that it is reduced to actual needs. There is the process on the design began actually last summer with a extensive needs assessment, and we also went through a series of public open houses at that time too that are in addition to the public hearing that was held regarding the financing of it. So the public has been involved and had input on it. We also analyzed numerous sites around the city for the location and settled on this site adjacent to the city hall and library to further create a municipal center there, and also for some economies of having it located adjacent to the existing City Hall. But with that, I'll go ahead and just leave it at that and let you ask any questions you might have on the building.
What happens with the existing space?
The current plan is that once the new Justice Center was built, that we would utilize the space that the police department is currently using to be able to spread some of the people out. We have people working on top of people in the current City Hall. I have a building inspector that his office happens to be the jury room, which seconds as a lunchroom for the employees, and so that it would allow the opportunity for the staff to be able to spread out and still utilize the space in the building.
Very well, thank you. We'll go to the board for questions.
Go ahead.
Treasurer Damson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It doesn't appear that the MBA has any rated debt, is that correct?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
Does the MBA have any rated debt? I think the answer is no. Okay. Since Mr. Buxton is conveniently here in the room, and in light of the fact that market rates are at an all-time, we thought they couldn't go lower last year and the year before. What would roughly the rate be for private placement financing for this transaction? Alex, can you give us a ballpark on that?
Mr. Zanotti?
I have one question and a comment. Mayor, what is the source and availability of the cash that you indicated in your application?
I have $900,000 that we were going to put onto the project, as well as the acre and a half of ground that is going to be encumbered by this building. And then we would also... I guess I'm confused just a little bit on what you're asking.
It just is the cash is available to put through this project and is already designated for this particular project.
Yes, we've been saving money for this for the last couple of years because we knew that there was a real need there, but we didn't have the funding available to be able to do that.
Okay.
In the past years.
My comment is that the UDOT monthly meeting was in Tooele County, and then Mayor was gracious enough to give us a tour of the county and throughout the community, and they do have that need. I personally saw that. If you want to compare it to Sardine, that's exactly Sardine can. That's exactly what they have. I don't know how they can even function. And I'm glad that he's at least asking for potholes to be fixed, because his tour meeting was all fix my potholes.
And
so today,
the
application doesn't indicate potholes, so thank you for that.
We'll give them
they
an
did
idea.
Fix those two, Commissioner.
This is more a question for Candace and Gail. I mean, their meeting notes, does that even qualify for meeting notes? All it says it's an agenda item and opened the hearing and closed it. Didn't discuss anything. Does that qualify?
Was there any discussion at the meeting?
There was a public hearing, as you guys require. It was opened up to the public, and there was no comments. So
On the agenda. Public hearing said application to the Utah State Community Impact Board for funding the proposed construction of the Grantsville City Justice Center. That's the sum total of what was represented in the minutes.
And perhaps that was to our
public hearing, and then no comments, and you closed it. So
perhaps that was to our detriment a little bit. The several months prior, we were going on a marketing campaign, if you will, and several times, as indicated by Jim Childs, we had open sessions in our council meeting where many presentations were given on the Justice Building, the financing of it, even the outlay of the floor plan. And a lot of questions were answered in several of the prior meetings. So when we held the actual public hearing, there was nobody against it. and no other comments were made or discussed by the council.
If I'm correct in inferring what Mr. Galecki refers to, is it's hard to tell if the public is aware of what you were applying for, mm-hmm. according to these minutes.
If I may, there's been a couple of articles that was in the local paper concerning the construction of this facility, the layout of it, the cost, and
all. That you would be taking out a loan.
Yes.
It was discussed in great detail, the loan, the approximate amounts, and what funds that the loan would be paid back with, down to different percentages and down to the penny as far as we could figure out those costs.
In the future, Mayor Marshall, just if there are no comments in a public hearing, to indicate that public hearing was called to order, there were no comments, no discussion, public hearing closed, that way that resolves any of those questions.
And I believe that's what we did, maybe not in
your
exact format, but in ours we did. And it's nice to see that sometimes you don't have to be in city council meeting to have a city council meeting where you have substitute motions on top of substitute motions. So thank you.
Any further questions? Commissioner Potter, did you have anything?
I was just going to say, you know, it's not that the project's not worthy of consideration. My only hesitation in it is that over the last 5 years, Tooele County's produced about $500,000 in mineral revenue, $100,000 a year. We're looking at over a $2 million loan, and to present, they have withdrawn from the fund 1,413% of their amount going in. If I was to make a motion at all, it would be at a higher rate, and I also have to consider whether we have those kind of funds in a mineral producing, situation. So those are my concerns. I don't know how to, address that really to your party here, but that's the role that we have to play in evaluating. Your work is done well. The one thing I will say is I do like your engineering fees. I think that could be a standard for all other projects coming in. 7% compared to the last one we had that was 33%. So,
if I may, we border the Great Salt Lake, and there is a lot of minerals that are pulled out of the lake and around the lake body. But because they're controlled by the state, we get no revenue resource from them, other than the taxes that the employees pay as residents in our communities. We sometimes feel like we get cheated as well, because there's a lot of salt that's harvested, potash, titanium, magnesium, and we receive no royalties for any of that.
Yeah, those are different minerals than we receive our revenues for. Tooele does have a fair amount of federal land as well, which we try and offset with some of these funds from time to time. To your point, Commissioner Potter, there is a precedent for charging a higher interest rate, particularly in the Wasatch Front. Tooele County, sometimes considered a shoulder county, but they are part of the Wasatch Front Regional Council. And Tooele
and if I may, Mr. Chair, we don't receive a lot of funding that comes for projects for our roads that come out of the Wasatch Front. We're off of the I-15 corridor, which is where the majority of that money is spent. I like to claim that we get table scraps, things that fall on the floor that the dog gets to eat.
Any further questions?
Just a comment that Tooele has become, Grantsville has become just a bedroom community for Salt Lake and Wasatch Front people without getting the benefit of that tax break. They get all the other people get the benefit, they get the smell from the lake. That's my observation from last month meeting.
The chair will entertain a motion if anyone is so inclined.
I make that motion. I'm brave enough to do that. I make a motion to accept the terms as stated.
As stated and moved to the priority list. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
We have a second by Commissioner Mattson. Any discussion on the motion?
Substitute motion.
Thank you, Mr. Potter. Please proceed.
My motion would be to deny at this point in time the application.
We have a motion from Commissioner Potter to deny as presented. Is there a second to that substitute motion? Seeing no second, we're back to the original motion, which is as presented. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, please raise your hand. Commissioner Farrell, or Councilman Farrell, Commissioner Adams, Mr. Galecki, Commissioner Mattson, and Mr. Zanotti. Those opposed, by this uplifted hand, Commissioner Ogden, Treasurer Damschen, Commissioner Potter, and Commissioner Winterton. Okay, so the motion passes by a vote.
Thank you.
As presented, this will be placed on the priority list for funding consideration in October. For everyone who's still listening, and I know Grantsville is, we've approved a sizable amount of money today, more than is currently in our account. The board will not fund projects that we do not have funding for. So at the rate we're going, come October, some difficult decisions may have to be made. And so I'm not just speaking to Grantsville City, although hopefully you're hearing as well. So with that, we look forward to seeing you again in October.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks
you,
again. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Chief. Mr. Williams, is it Bruce? Yeah. You can sit at the table if you'd like. There's an empty chair.
If you dare.
I saw that lonely look in my eye.
If you'll please introduce yourselves and give us a brief description of your project.
I'm Mayor Rick Rosenberg from Santa Clara. Bruce Williams is with Zion Public Finance, city's financial advisor. The project we're here today for is landslide stabilization of the Truman Drive landslide in central Santa Clara. This is a landslide that started out as a seep probably 100 years ago and has developed into something that is now threatening 26 homes within the city. The Utah Geologic Survey walked the site and wrote a letter to the city indicating that it was high risk of conditional failure within the slope that would cause the loss of homes and risk of life. We've got two homes that have been condemned. One of those homes has been removed, been torn down. We have several high property risks. Following the Utah Geologic Survey study, the city hired AGEC, Jim Nordquist, to go out and do a risk analysis on the slope, and he identified six parcels that have a safety factor of one, which is basically that it could fail within the next two-year period. Typically, a home has a safety factor of landslide of 1.5 as a minimum. That gives you 100-year design protection or that 1% risk. We have six parcels that the safety factor is one as a two-year recurrence. We've got 10 parcels that are between 1 and 1.3, so that's a seven-year occurrence. Those homes are at risk of failure in the next 7 years or have a very high risk of failure. And we have another 10 homes that are between that 7 and that 100. And so there's 26 homes that are impacted by the slide. We've successfully obtained a FEMA pre-disaster mitigation grant. We've gone through that cycle over the last several years. This year they have selected our project for funding. We're just completing the NEPA process that's required by the FEMA grant, and we're also doing the title work right now. Three of the parcels have been completed. The other three are in process right now, so we're close. We've got a FEMA grant for $1,172,000, which is 75% of the estimated project cost. The city is putting some skin in the game of approximately $40,000. We've asked CDBG for 50% of that remainder in loan and 50% in grant. The work itself, we'll be doing some additional detailed geotechnical information. If you look at the engineering fees, they are a little bit high. This is a very complex thing. It's not, we're not building roads or water lines, something that's fairly straightforward. We're going to have to try and identify where the groundwater sources are under the slide. A series of drilling up on top of the slide to identify those points so the drains can be located in the optimum locations. 1993, the city took on trying to dewater some of that area as a result of the slide. The groundwater drains weren't put in the appropriate locations. A lot of that water was missed. Subsequently, there was additional failures that have happened out there on that slope. And so we've got, trying to do the best job we can to identify those sources so the drains are put in the appropriate locations. We're going to purchase six parcels per the FEMA requirements. Those six parcels come into the city ownership, and there'll be a deed restriction placed on those to where nothing can ever happen on that. But in a step further, as those parcels are obtained, the homes will be removed, and the ground will actually be contoured, and they'll take the weight from the top of the slide off. So those parcels will be graded at approximately a 2.5-to-1 slope, so they're not buildable in any fashion once we're done with it. That material is taken around and placed at the bottom of the slope in the form of a buttress with the drain system, so that the burden on top of the slope, the weight on top of the slope, is removed and placed as a doorstop at the bottom to keep the slide from moving forward. We're not doing some of the repairs in the past have included caissons and some other things that the slide has just tipped them over the years. So we're installing the drains, we're installing the buttress, we're relocating families. We've got four structures to be torn down and removing some of the undeveloped lots so that they can never be built on at the top of the slide.
Well, I can see why the city elected an engineer to be the mayor.
Yeah.
That's quite a conundrum you've got there.
This is like, if I get this one done, I can maybe go fishing.
That may be a while. Go to the board for questions. Comments, concerns?
I have one. Kudos.
Mr. Zanotti?
By way of disclosure, Mr. Chairman, I'm engineer also, and also do real estate and development in Washington County, and I'm keen aware of the situation that mayor is really facing. This is not the yesterday's issue. It's been there since I moved in 24 years ago to Washington County, and the mayor and predecessor also done a good job of remedying, but unfortunately, the water situation in the Santa Clara is so strangely uncontrollable. One community, one section of the community, one day is dry, and the next morning you have all kinds of water running under. And the mayor's assessment of what is going to be done, what needs to be done, fascinates me, and I really appreciate that assessments they have done. So with that, I would like to make a motion, if there's no other question, to accept mayor's proposal to advance this project.
Is that a motion?
Yes.
Motion to accept as presented to the priority list. Second to that motion?
I'd like to make a substitute motion.
We have a substitute motion?
Question, first of all, can you handle all of this in a loan? Because I recognize you're putting money in and that, but going forward where you had a FEMA grant in that, if it was 20 years and turned all to loan, is that still something you can handle?
I'm not going to walk away from $1,000,001 in a FEMA grant, so I'll figure out a way to handle whatever the outcome of this committee is. We're responsible for 25% of that as a local source. I'm not going to walk into those widows' homes again and tell them that we're going to turn down this federal grant because we're going to have to make some interest payments. So the answer to your question bluntly would be yes. I'll go home and make it work with 100% loan. Now, we'll have to change some things in order to make that happen. We will. We were excited when this board funded the Highway 91 improvements. within the last year. I can't remember the exact dates. We were really excited when we were able to return 100% of that money back to you because we had some very competitive bids come in and we're able to do some other financing with the MPO and the other things down south to where we wouldn't need that. One of the reasons we did that is because of this project. We knew that we didn't have the FEMA grant in our pocket yet, but we were close. And so we wanted to leave a little bit of room to be able to help fund that one. So we would like to get a portion of it in the grant. If I get the whole thing in a loan, we're going to do the project. And I don't think we've got a choice anymore as a city.
Mr. Chairman.
Well, let's let Ron finish and then I'll go to you, Commissioner Paul.
I would like to make... Did we have a second on that?
No, not yet.
Okay. I'd like to make a substitute motion on that. And that would be to fund this at 2.5%, 100% of it. So
$351,000 at 2.5% for 20 years?
Yeah, unless it's a hardship. And if they can handle it, then okay, 20 years. Otherwise, you know, maybe we look at a longer term. But I would propose a 20-year.
Okay, thank you. We have a substitute motion. Is there a second to the substitute?
I'll second that.
Mr. Grilecki seconds. Commissioner Potter, did you have any discussion for the question?
I was just going to add that I agree with Commissioner Winterton just simply because this really is a personal property issue compared to a lot of the community-type projects that we do. And there may be, obviously, lives deeply affected, but, again, I think it's very generous, so what he's proposing based upon the production level and the amounts of monies that you have received, you know, through the areas. So I just wanted to make that statement that it is very generous, even at that level, because it could be totally denied or it could be a 4 or 5% interest rate on that.
Any further comments on the substitute motion?
I just wanted to make sure again that Santa Clara has gone through the several flooding for the past few years. They have never come before CIB. They also turned down the CIB opportunity the last year that they used the local funding and local financing to do that project for the 91 for the purpose that they can come back before CIB to do this. Just a comment.
Thank you for that. By a show of hands, all in favor of the substitute motion? Winterton, Farrell, Adams, Potter, Damson, Tudor, Ogden, Lenson, yeah. Any opposed or abstentions? Are you opposed?
I'm just opposed.
Thank you. And Mr. Zanotti's opposed. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. Thank you.
That will be put on the priority list for funding consideration in October as 100% loan, 2.5%.
Can we get one step above Grantsville for the 2.7, just so there's more money available?
We'll see how that all sorts out. I see Lo is anxious to come forward. We appreciate that. It's the end of the meeting. We like that enthusiasm. If you'll introduce yourselves for the record, and that project kind of speaks for itself. So.
Yes, it does. Yes. I'm Michelle Bryan. I'm the Lower Town clerk, and I can't even speak because this is not my thing. We are coming for a fire truck. Obviously, you can see that. It is a need, not a want. We definitely need this. Our community has two fire trucks, and he's a little more into that. Well, let him introduce himself. I didn't do that, did I?
I'm Cody Grundy. I'm a town council member and also a volunteer fireman. Our two current trucks, one's a 1974 and the other one's a 1985. The 74 should be taken out of commission because it's wore out, the tank leaks. 85, we've had the engine rebuilt in it three times in the last 4 years. It's currently, the last time it was rebuilt, it took a month and a half. So that put us to using the old fire truck. And that's basically.
Or you could get a new mechanic.
suggestion.
And we know it's crazy to ask for a grant, but we are crazy in Lois, so that's how we do things. We really just don't feel like we have much revenue to offer, but we will do what we can. We set aside a little bit to help with the fire department every year, and we're willing to put that into it, which isn't much, I know. The county doesn't help us at all. They claim that they're completely broke, so it's up to us to kind of handle all of our fire department needs at this point.
Just a couple questions. Why hasn't the department or the city created a sinking fund for these type of expenses?
Well, last year the county was going to open a special service district just for fire department safety and it didn't happen. And it fell through. And they were actually on the CIB list and they didn't do anything with it. So we just decided it was up to us again to try and get a fire truck. We service Fremont, which is close by, and also Lyman, which is close by, and
we back Bicknell too.
Yeah, we don't really have enough money to put into some sort of a fund. We try and set aside every year the $16,000, and that's for training and maintenance, and that's all we have. So that's kind of where we're at.
Commissioner Ogden?
I just want to make a comment. I know there's discussion over there in Wayne County to try to come up with a special service district. I know that's still in the process over there. Wayne County being 97% owned by the federal government, 3%, the other 3% owned by the private, and half of that private is owned by agriculture, so they don't have a lot of revenue over in Wayne County, just to let you be aware of that.
Appreciate that. That's very true.
Mr. Chairman, how far away are you from Bryce National Park?
Quite
90
ways.
Miles.
Yeah,
90
miles.
Do you have coverage down into there, too, beyond Loa and Bicknell? And
well, we can go down to Hanksville. And
yeah, we cover Torrey and Capitol Reef National Park.
Probably Capitol Reef is a lot closer. How close is Capitol Reef?
It's 28 miles from Loa.
And I guess it's more of a point than anything. Not that, again, every time that we hear that there is such a great economic boon to be had through not only our national parks and recreation areas, when we tie up that much ground in the federal government, it handicaps communities like you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, agriculture is a wonderful, wonderful way of life, and I have nothing against that. But you are really handicapped by that, and yet you don't have the ability to produce any kind of mineral base or attract other things into there. And it's just sad that it's always the cry that we produce so much badness in the world while small communities suffer because of the actions of the federal government. So with that, I'd make a motion that we approve.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Potter and a second from Commissioner Adams. Any discussion on the motion to approve as presented? All in favor, aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Please create a sinking fund. If it's $10 a month, that would be helpful. And then this will be on the priority list for funding, full funding in October.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. They don't get to be opposed to that. Opposition is futile. This is a supplemental request to suspend and fund. Whenever there's a supplemental request, we blame the engineer.
That's why we brought him. I'm Mayor Christensen from Annabella Town, and you approved us a wonderful project, and we're well on our road to getting it done. We had an event Sunday where some real hard rains come down, and thankfully it didn't hit the mountains, and we only flooded minorly. But through government red tape and all kinds of things. The project that we really wanted to have done by the time the monsoonal moisture came this year is just barely getting started. But well, there's many reasons why we need some additional funds, but I'm going to turn the time over to Darren Robinson from Jones and DeMills, and he'll explain that to you.
Okay, thanks, Mayor. Probably the largest reasons for the overruns and the time delays are we met with the BLM, I think it was February of 2015. We talked about fast-tracking the process, utilizing a current right-of-way grant that the town has for their culinary water facilities. Instead of being able to amend that right-of-way grant, we ended up having to go through a full environmental assessment process, and what resulted was three new right-of-way grants, two permanent, one temporary, so we could get in there and do the geotechnical work. So that took time and money. They were also booked up. Their resource people weren't available to do the on-the-ground surveys for cultural resources and T&E species. So we stepped in and brought on some sub-consultants to take care of that, and then we wrote the environmental document in behalf of BLM. We went through that process. We thought we could get through in 6 months, and took a little more than a year to get those final right-of-way grants in place, as well as the temporary right-of-way grant that was required for the geotechnical work to take place. Through the geotechnical process and in working with conceptual layouts with the state of Utah Dam Safety, it became clear from their standpoint that these debris basins would be viewed as moderate hazard, which adds a new layer of, or additional layer of oversight and review. Which isn't all bad, but it does add more cost and more effort. Our geotechnical subconsultant, as a result, we'd estimated 10,400 initially. That went up to 40, I think it was 42,000. Anyway, that resulted in a $31,500 overrun for geotechnical, which that analysis identified some potential concerns which needed to be addressed during design, which is good. We want this structure to be there a long time and to protect the town from floods. So as a result of the dam safety oversight, we also had to design the structure similar to, even though this is a flood debris basin, is designed to temporarily detain the water, drop out your heavy sediments, your debris, logs and whatnot, and boulders, and then outlet a measured amount of flow that can be handled through the existing town flood ditches and whatnot. Due to the moderate hazard rating, we had to design these structures similar to, by the same standards as you would, say, a Jordan L Dam, where they viewed this as potentially being plugged so it would hold water. So we had to do what's called a steady state analysis and then design the foundation for that. And as well, also the spillways are designed to handle what's considered a probable maximum flood. I'm probably boring you to death, but I'm an engineer, so I like facts. Greg's okay with this. The probable maximum flood requires a secondary spillway to handle this event. Even though the debris basins have a small capacity, we still have one of the debris basins has an 80-foot wide spillway that has to be armored with riprap and concrete grout, which added significant cost. 80-foot wide, I think we're about 500 feet long with that one. And the other debris basin has a smaller spillway because it's a smaller basin, but similar level of effort and cost for construction. So I'm just trying to give you this background to help you understand that from our conceptual layouts that we did prior to requesting funding to where we're at today. Our scope didn't change, our geographic scope, but the level of effort and design changed due to the state dam safety requirements and the way they view the structure. So it's, some may say it's over designed, but there's a level of care or safety factor that's required when dam safety is involved.
So you're blaming the dam safety for these overruns?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's all environmental issues, really.
environmental issues added to that as well. The only thing that we added to the scope of this, just to be blunt, is there was one flood ditch through town that runs right by the town's ball fields where a lot of kids congregate. It's a big, deep ditch there, and we decided it was best, instead of leaving that open and the next block north, creating a ditch when we realized we were running into a lot of utility issues with trying to create an open ditch. It was best to pipe that. So we added two blocks of storm drain piping that wasn't part of the original scope. So
let's go to the board for questions.
I just want to know, the mayor, the status of your grant from NRCS, 298, what is the condition of that?
That has been approved. Initially, we didn't think we'd have to come here. We were just talking about that outside. Initially, they had 500,000 slated. Well, initially, they had more than that. Then we came to CIB when that funding didn't come through. Then the funding came through in the amount of 500,000. They've gone through some leadership changes in NRCS back in their headquarters, and so they have changed the way that they interpret their guidelines for the Emergency Watershed Protection Program. And so instead of 500,000 from NRCS, we're getting the 298. Those funds have been approved. We're just working through the NRCS process to finalize the review. They have to review all of our drawings and everything, but the funding's there.
I have their number on my iPhone. You want to call them back and say CIB rejected, go back to $500,000?
That'd be awesome.
Let's do it.
You mentioned...
Was that a motion? Or?
increased regulations with dam safety. Have you approached water resources for additional information? Do they have any water resources, dam safety for additional funding?
They have funding for existing dams, as I understand it, that they've been using to rehab existing dams. For new structures, we didn't approach them for that.
Commissioner Mattson?
Darren, would you describe a little bit about what it was the BLM did, the original part, to where you find yourself now, and what's that and rationale involved and why?
Well, I think we were hopeful that this was, because it was a town facility, we understood that it wasn't a culinary water facility, which their current right-of-way grant is for. But this facility protected some of those culinary water facilities. We thought that we could get away with a right-of-way grant amendment. So it would just be amend the existing grant. It would be a lot more streamlined process. I don't know why they made the decision they did to view these as new. I should back up. Part of the right-of-way grant also includes an irrigation pond and pipeline, which this project protects and also improves. I can't answer why they made the decision they did. I think it's just a matter of being careful on their part, and so we ended up with the three different right-of-way grants.
Can you take it as 100% loan?
It would be difficult for us. We're a small town, have no income other than our water, you know, that we sell to the town. We've already bonded to fund the project through higher water bills. I don't know where we'd get the money.
And just to add to that, the town's been very creative. They don't have a revenue stream for flood protection or storm drainage. So if you remember from our previous meeting, there was quite a discussion about that, and they've been creative in tying this to revenues because it's protecting culinary water facilities, tying it to revenues from culinary water sales, which are up near the affordability criteria. So there's not a revenue stream to absorb that. And our bond, just to add a little bit more on the schedule for this project, we've gone through the bond parameters, advertisement and everything. The bond parameters wouldn't allow for a loan in oftentimes your bond parameters are larger than the actual loan, but we don't have enough extra in those parameters to account for more loan than going beyond the proportioning of the original funding. So we'd have to go back through a bonding process.
Candace, can you elaborate on that, please?
This project was almost to the bond closing. And so they've already had their bond hearing, and they went up to a certain dollar amount, which was approved in that bond hearing, which is the requirement. This, any more loan would bring them above that, and they'd have to start all over in the process. So this is kind of the same affordability ratio that they were awarded.
Keith, thanks for the question. Go ahead, Commissioner Adams.
I'm going to make a motion that we approve the supplemental request as presented.
We have a motion from Commissioner Adams and a second from Commissioner Ogden to approve as presented. That is suspend and fund.
Suspend and fund.
Suspend and fund. All in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposed or abstaining? Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Mayor.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That concludes the application portion of our agenda. We'll now move to board member discussions. In your red packet, you had a teal color piece of paper, light blue. This is something we've talked about the past several meetings. This is our initial due diligence checklist for the Throughput Infrastructure Fund, which was created by the legislature and went into law effective July 1. This is a preliminary outline, meaning that this will most likely not be the final document that we utilize when and if we get to the point of doing so. But this kind of outlines the direction that the board wants outside professional review to take place on the deep water throughput port capacity project. We would like a motion to approve this. I'm sorry, what was that, Candace? Yeah. For
Mr. Chairman, would you cover the part of your comments again on preliminary, what that involves?
Absolutely. Again, the purpose of this is that if we were to approve an application and move forward with funding a deep water port throughput capacity type project, that is beyond the scope of expertise that anyone in this room possesses. And so we would want to get an analysis done by a professional financial entity that understands those types of things and can address the issues. And what we provided here is kind of a 30,000-foot overview of what those types of issues are.
And what would be analyzed. And
right, over. Exactly.
I could barely understand the Annabelle situation.
I think we're all in the same boat. So
I make that motion, Mr. Chairman.
So we have a motion from Mr. Zanotti and a second from Commissioner Mattson. Discussion, questions, comments, suggestions. Again, this is preliminary. This is just to put out to the public that these are the things that we will be looking at when and if we receive such an application.
This will give us some time to review this before our next meeting, and then, or is this the final?
again, this is it's a preliminary outline.
Yeah.
So it won't be what is released as the request for proposal. That will be a document that's based on this outline. This is the outline. Yes.
The if I could, Mr. Chair,
please.
The lack of detail here is commensurate with the simple fact we don't have an application. So this is not a very robust checklist, but it cannot be a robust checklist when we don't have an application. So this is just a pencil sketch starting point, and I think to that extent it's adequate.
I guess what I was wondering is this bind us to anything specifically moving forward?
Binds us to the fact that we will be looking at these types of issues when and if we receive an application in a very broad sense, yes.
Yeah, so the discussion when we started kind of having this percolate in our minds was to keep it more in a broad sense in the categories of things that we would be looking at. A lot of these revolve around a lot of the questions that have been asked around this particular project in a general sense. And as Treasurer Damshin noted, that there will be a lot more specific items as we receive an application that will require a lot more review. And those would be the things that we'd be locked into once we have an application. We'd be very public and forthright about those items of due diligence, who would be performing them, and if we needed additional expertise, what those areas would be and how we would procure those.
So who comes forward with the application?
That remains to be seen. Further questions? Discussion? All in favor of the motion? Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstaining? Motion carries. Next item on the agenda, you have to look at your most recent agenda because it was in the packet. Again, when Senate Bill 246 came forward and created the Throughput Infrastructure Fund, of which the Community Impact Board is responsible, it put in two tranches of money from the general fund into the Throughput Infrastructure Fund. That first tranche came on July 1st, putting $26 million back into under this board's responsibility. And so the question that we need to discuss is how we put that money back into the fund and how we disperse that funding. So there is a new fund created, and that is the Throughput Infrastructure Fund, as you all know. And so that fund currently has $26 million. Money that came from the transportation fund.
From the sales tax revenue that would have gone to the transportation fund.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate that, John. So hopefully you've all got that straight. I think we all have a hard time with that. But so the question is, how do we want to deal with the $53 million that this board set aside from our major infrastructure fund that has now been replaced or is in the process of being replaced with the new money from the legislature? Are we all on the same page? Have I explained that well enough?
So we can't put it back in our infrastructure set aside?
Well, that's where it should go, but we need to talk about that exactly. That's the discussion, yes.
Makes sense to me.
And if we do that, you know, how do we do that? And, one of the concerns is we don't have the full $53 million right now. We have $26 million. So it wouldn't be prudent to say, okay, we've got $53 million that we were going to use that we're not now, if that makes sense. But we do have the 26, and how are we putting that back in, and how will we allocate that? John?
The other thing that I think really needs to be discussed as a board is the $26 million is what we would have received over the course of a year in mineral lease revenue. So even if we put it back into if it gets not committed to the project and remains, it's already in the major infrastructure set aside, but it's committed to a project. So if it stays there, how are you going to spend the $26 million over the course of this year and the $27 million over the course of the next year? Is that going to be divided into the three funding trimesters? Those are the types of discussions I think. Otherwise, we'll have this pot of, I'm a little nervous about having $26 million right up front. We've got all these worthy projects, but we'll have worthy projects, you know, throughout the year. And we will not have mineral lease revenue to the tune of $26 million through the course of the year. So we need to understand how we're going to uncommit the major infrastructure set aside money to this project and how that's going to be spent over the course of the year by the board, kind of in a planning sense, so that we make good decisions now and all throughout the year. Based on the fact we're not going to have mineral lease revenues.
I thought we decided in Monticello that we would release those funds as needed from the set-aside money if we came up short of funds because of the downturn in the price of oil, that we could dip into those funds for projects as we move forward. Would that not be sufficient, Jonathan?
Well, that can certainly be a decision of the board. I think... And they can always do that with funding that's in the infrastructure set aside. But I think the thing we'd probably be a little nervous about, since we don't have mineral lease revenue coming in the second funding cycle and the third funding cycle, we need to be careful that we don't spend, you know, more than the fair share of that $26 million in the first funding cycle. I think that's probably the thing that we probably need to be most cognizant about. We could do it a play-it-as-we-go approach, but I think... Normally, we would get revenues on a monthly basis, and at the funding meeting, we would have basically 4 months of revenue that we would be looking at. We are not going to have that same opportunity, so I would probably suggest more of a proportional approach to dividing out, just in a planning sense. No formal action needs to be taken as far as like moving money from the major infrastructure set aside into the accounts where we would make loans and grants. But in a planning sense, that we would kind of plan on not spending more than a third of the $26 million in the first funding trimester.
Mr. Chairman, I think there are a couple of things that also apply to this, and I would anticipate that, you know, probably on our next meeting that there would be a withdrawal of that original application by the four counties. And going off from what Commissioner Adams said, those monies really should roll back to that major infrastructure. And then I think at that point in time, and we'd have to have help obviously from Kimberly, but the way that should be distributed back out is this board being made aware of, if we're dividing it by 12, the $26 million this year by 12, $27 million by 12 the next year, that basically this board then can see that if they need to move that, which they will, that it's done in a trimester type basis, so that we're taking, you know, 4 months of those funding and moving it from that fund over. That way I think we keep the integrity of those monies where that they belong, and the distribution process based on what the reality would be for this board if those monies were there. So in that respect, then there is no shortage. You know, we're not creating a shortage of funds for this board to spend on a trimester type basis. And I think that would be equitable, because those funds will be there. Obviously, they'll continue to be in a set-aside account and growing at whatever that rate might happen to be. And we would have the ability to do the business of the CIB going forward. So those are just a couple of thoughts as I've looked at what that might mean into the future. And then, of course, we'll formulate and be looking forward to, you know, putting together an application for this project or another throughput project that was described in the Senate bill. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with what Jonathan and Commissioner Potter are saying. I think that's the right approach. We wanted to have this discussion so everyone on the board understands kind of how this is happening and what it means, because there are a number of moving pieces, and it's important moving forward, especially as we're looking at the deficits and the lack of revenue in the foreseeable future, that we understand that, and that no one think that there's, you know, oh great, as soon as that application is withdrawn, we've got $53 million to spend, because we don't. You know, that money that's coming back is replacing the money that's being taken out, and so that's the money we will have to use, but we do need to stretch that money out over the next several years. It may be more than two, given you know the way the revenues are currently looking. And again, things will change, but we don't know how And so I like the idea of doing it, you know, on a trimester basis, basically looking at, you know, just north of $1 million a month or $2 million a month, you know, to make that about $8.5-9 million a trimester that we would have coming in. And that keeps things equitable in the spirit of the trimester system that we've always used, so that all applicants are having equal access to a potter.
The other thing we could do is treat it just like we were getting mineral lease revenue. So we track the mineral lease revenue still coming from the state. We're just not going to receive it. So we could apportion or make a recommendation each trimester to apportion what we would have gotten in mineral lease revenue from the major infrastructure set aside once these monies go back in. That would be kind of really consistent with the way we normally treat revenues.
I think
this
at
board.
Least to have that information so we know what those revenues are doing, and then we at least realize that where we're at. Could you come up to the microphone so that everyone can hear?
Or you're just going to let me borrow the 20 years at 2.5% interest? I'm good for it.
I think most of you know that I do the mineral lease analysis for the state and make the recommendations to the Division of State Finance on the distribution, the state's distribution of mineral lease funds every month. So I do get that information. I'm privy to it first before anybody else has it. So there are a couple of options that have been outlined, and that's just to do it on a dollar-for-dollar basis. We could do a comparison based to what we actually took in versus dividing the $26 million. We can also look at separating out the earnings that for the $53 million that is sitting in trust. That might give a little extra here and there that funds a project or two. So there are different options we can look at each month. We can put all those numbers on the table, and then you can decide which number you want to use that month.
That would be helpful. What I recommend, and simply my recommendation, is as Commissioner Adams said, when we get to the funding meeting, unless we should have a plethora of suspend and fund activity, which we don't anticipate because we don't currently have that, is at the trimester before the board actually approves funding, that we look at what revenues are at, and we again have this conversation of here's where things are at, and then the board can make the motion to move an appropriate amount of money into the appropriate fund. So if there are other ideas, we can have that discussion now or again at the funding meeting when we talk about it again. But we wanted to have the conversation so that we're clear on what the situation is, because again, if you're looking at our financials, that's pretty frightening. But if you're thinking, oh, well, we're going to have this $53 million freeing up, well, that's not accurate either. So we needed to have the conversation so that everyone's clear. And so,
On the upside, you know, our repayment revenue is consistently increasing. Obviously, that will level off a little bit simply because we have less new money that we're lending. But the current position is that that's been on the upswing. Because the board has loaned money in the past. So I'm projecting that our repayment income will actually be about 60 to 70% of our revenue next year. So while looking at the new money is daunting and a little terrifying, the repayment income will, of course, sustain the board. So really the position is with the $53 million, even taking half of it or something equivalent to what would have come in. The board's, it's, you know, we don't have to close up shop by any means. That said, again, as I said in June at the retreat, loaning money is good, and it was good to see that happening today, because that's what's going to sustain you. That's going to be what you're going to live off next year.
Well, and that's what our children and grandchildren live off, so I always appreciate hearing that. This is the permanent community impact fund, so.
But we do, our earnings, as we know, are not great on the funds in trust, but it can be a significant piece yet. And if necessary, we can separate that out. We have all that data. So.
Thank you, Kimberly. We appreciate your professional expertise. Candace, did you have a comment?
I'm just going to go to the end balance that always looks a bit daunting. CIB has never been in the red. It won't go in the red. What you see on your review sheet is what it would look like should you fund everything according to the revenue as it looks. But it changes. Mm-hmm. Like we alluded to earlier in this meeting, everything was funded, even though at the funding meeting it looked as though there wouldn't be sufficient revenue. But by the time those payments are accounted for, there was sufficient. So as you look at that balance, don't let it deter you on making prudent and quality decisions for these rural counties. It will be there, and I'm sure that you will handle it. But Kimberly will always let us know, and we will never put this fund in the red.
I've been around a long time and working with this board and have anecdotally recalled the days where we sat at a meeting with spreadsheets in hand pencil in hand and doing calculations and subtracting things, and we got down to our last $900 of uncommitted funds at a funding meeting.
We may be there
those
again.
Days in a long time. I hope we're
we'll
not there again.
We use the computer.
Again. And everybody still got funded.
Commissioner Mattson, you had a comment?
Just a question for clarification for my understanding here. At our rate of travel, we're not really dealing with anything that's an implied earmark of any sort. So the rate of travel then is what comes in as we go on over time, mm-hmm. as we look at this $53 million as such.
Yeah.
I think it's also interesting, from our June meeting, too, you talk about spreadsheets and where we are, and we talk about over $1 billion in projects that have been done, by this board over its history. And, I mean, that is incredible. There's not another state or organization that can even come close to talking about those things. And it is driven off from those mineral revenues, and pricing and availability and restrictions are going to be critical to, where we go in the future. And I only bring that up again as a reminder that thank goodness we're a board and that we function and offset each other in different ways. But we will have to be extremely careful in how we lend money or don't lend money. That's just going to be part of what we'll have to do as a board. So.
Absolutely.
Just previously, in terms of transactions, we had an application for $2.7 million, and it was all loan at 2.5%. Seemed to me that looked like a moneymaker. Was I missing something in that discussion when we had no vote?
No, it is a moneymaker. I think the concern is, again, looking, not knowing what the revenues really are going to be. That's a large sum of money for a community that isn't as desperate or as impacted as some others was the sentiment I took away from that.
The banking business thing is what you're saying.
We're in compassionate banking, and some people need more compassion than others.
No such thing.
It's a valid point.
I suppose magnitude will come into the discussion in some form or another, and as to what.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, right. We used to have
October will be interesting.
We have a soft cap of projects at $5 million. Maybe that'll.
True.
Get less soft.
A lot of variables. If there's nothing else, we'll accept a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams.
I have
thank
the farthest to travel.
So